Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
So much good stuff, like Tungus. Too much good stuff. That's right. Boy, we bringing it. And tip of the cap to Giovanni and Max Zapata and Bad Matt Regular. Matt Fondelier for doing a fantastic job of assembling this week and all the great guests and all the great shows. So we will get to more of it. First, Simply Safe. Only 10% of break-ins are planned beforehand. That's weird. Scary, right? People just walking down the street. 90% of these people just break in willy-nilly. That's why you need protection. Only 1 in 5 homes has security because most companies don't make it easy. It's expensive, drilling, wires, pulling, hassle, mess. Simply Safe protects your whole home, every window, room, and door with 24/7 monitoring at a fraction of the cost, just $15 a month. Designed to blend right into your home. It's won a ton of awards. CNET, New York Times, Wirecutter, all have given Simply Safe awards. Visit simplysafe.com/Adam for free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. Make sure you go to simplysafe.com/Adam so they know I sent you. These guys are good sponsors. Two eyes, simplysafe.com/Adam. Rocket Mortgage. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home is much more than a house. That's why when you find the perfect place for you and your family, getting a mortgage shouldn't be difficult and it shouldn't get in the way. And that's why there's Rocket Mortgage. Their team of mortgage experts, number one goal is to make home buying process a smoother, easier process for you. Quicken Loans help millions of Americans achieve the dream of home ownership. And when you're ready to purchase a home and it's the home of your dreams, well, then they can help you too. J.D. Power ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 5 years in a row. Not too shabby. Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. Rocket Mortgage, right, Dawson?
Visit rocketmortgage.com/Adam and take the first step toward the home of your dreams. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage.
And welcome to Carolla Classics for August 13th, 2019. Thanks so much for hanging out with us this lovely Tuesday. And we're here all week, so make sure to tune in. This is the show where we highlight the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show. Over 10 years of podcasting right here, condensed into one nice episode. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, along with Carolla archivist superfan Giovanni.
Hijacking the Adam Carolla Show feed once again.
That's right. He's off racing. He's going to Monterey this week, and everybody's taking a week off.
We're all pursuing our real passions.
Yeah. Let's get started with some clips. Now, this first clip is a listener request, and if you'd like to submit a request, email us, classics@adamcarolla.com, tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio, at Chris Loxamana, comment or DM us on Instagram, Facebook, whatever. Just let us know what you want to hear. We're always listening, and we love playing the clips that you guys are remembering.
We'll find them.
That's right.
Eventually.
This first clip comes from listener Steve. He emails us, and he writes, "Hey guys, absolutely love the show and enjoy hearing your commentary on classic Carolla clips. Good times. The recent Ace Awards segments are pure gold." Thank you, Steve. Mm-hmm. All right, this first clip he requested is with Gary Cole. He was an excellent guest, and they did a made-up movie segment that was easily my favorite one ever done in ACS. Absolutely fantastic. Keep up the good work, fellas. Steve.
Adam Carolla Show 598, featuring Gary Cole, Allison Rosen, and Brian Bishop. June 2011, made-up movie with Gary Cole. Check it out.
All right, shall we play a little made-up movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have an actual celebrity sitting in on this one.
According to an ancient Mayan prophecy, in the year 2011, a hero would rise to turn your movie titles into blockbusters.
Glad it's not me.
That hero is Adam Carolla.
Boy, that could be me.
And this is Made Up Movie.
All right. You throw out the title, we will make up the movie. Hey, Steve.
Yes, sir.
30 from Sacramento. Thanks, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, I want to see what you can come up with for The Holy Socks.
The Holy Socks. All right. A direction we've never gone before here. My grandfather, as we heard from earlier, wrote or was one of the writers in a movie in the 40s. There he is, Laszlo on the left. Again, you can see how deeply in love my parents were. Deeply. Oh, you kids. You newlyweds get a room. It was embarrassing. They couldn't keep their hands off each other. And by the way, this is the look that my parents had on their face when someone was taking a picture. Imagine what they turned into when the camera went away. Oh, the fucking depression of those two assholes. Here's the point. Don't be depressed in front of your kids. It's the worst thing you could do. I would rather see my parents dance and then see my dad slug my wife or slug his wife once a year than see the just overall just veil of depression all the time.
And they don't even they don't even look that old there.
No,
things haven't been going on that long. No.
Miserable.
Your
miserable
dad was a
fucks.
French existentialist.
Yes,
no wonder he was depressed.
All right. Holy socks. My grandfather wrote, there was a movie called The Tales of Manhattan.
Oh.
In The Tales of Manhattan, they followed a tuxedo coat. And they followed it from a conductor to like a hobo to a gangster. Okay. And it was all
cool.
The stories that went along with that.
Right.
With that.
With tales, but not the same tales. I mean, it was just tales. Okay.
Yeah, right, here. And then this writer would write this segment, and this director would do it. And I think they did one with Manhattan, I think, some years ago. Woody Allen did one of them, and I don't know who else did one of them. Was it Tales of Manhattan? Or
New York Stories.
New York Stories.
Oh,
yeah.
New York Stories. Yeah, Scorsese and Woody Allen.
Right. I do that with The Holy Socks. I do this as one of those girl buddy things where we have a young Rosie O'Donnell and a
going back in time?
Yeah, going back in time. We follow a pair of socks.
Ah.
These socks and a young girl's America Fierro.
Oh, yeah.
Ferrara. Whatever.
Yeah.
She's one of the chicks. We get all those chicks together.
Open on a slumber party somewhere.
Slumber party.
Open on a foot.
Yeah, we pan up. It's a jib shot over Camp Kilajawada, you know, and it's just up there and the thing and the girl, we hear the girls talking. I think Johnny Benskin's cute. And they're all around the cabin, and they're all warming their tootsies on the fire.
Right.
And it's the magical traveling socks. Of course, one of them dies of ovarian cancer, you know. But we follow the magical socks through the progression as they love and they lost, and they, you know, one loses a child. It's very moving.
Got to get Miley in there.
Sounds like a tearjerker.
Miley Cyrus gets in there. I'm also, oh Jesus, I was just thinking about that.
Dakota Fanning.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
And her sister.
Elle Fanning?
Elle.
Oh, my God.
And
it's a family business.
A yeah,
thing.
And speaking of family.
Look who totally knows this.
Eric Roberts' kid.
Emma.
Emma Roberts. Yeah, she's in there. It's an all-star, you know, young
all-star
sibling.
All-star celebrity kind child. Of
celebrity
movie, yes.
child. Yeah. You know, we'll even throw in Schwarzenegger's kid.
Rumor Willis. What about her?
Rumor Willis. Toss her. She's a little long in the tooth, but she can play the medium. She can play the, you know, out of college, you know, finding her own side.
The medium character.
My first question is, where does Gary Cole fit in? But then it's humorous camp counselor.
Right.
With the beard. Keep the beard.
Keep the beard.
Some, you know, out on parole from some dicey charge.
Shorts and socks.
Having to do with, you know, I won't say, but.
Yeah. It's beaches meets meatballs meets
Sisterhood
of the Traveling Pants. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. All right.
I saw it and I cried a lot.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
The Holy Socks. What do you think?
You read my mind.
That's what I love about you. All right, Brian, you got one you like up there?
Remember the part where you asked us if we had an idea for one more than once?
Oh.
And I answered number two?
Oh, yeah,
more
you
than
said
once.
Line two. Sorry.
Maybe you should go to Allison.
I just looked up and pushed a button. Sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah. You got one you like,
Socks
Allison?
I do. Now, my idea is not nearly as fleshed
Spit
out as yours,
out.
So I'm going to need some help. For line one.
All right, line one. Kyle?
Yeah. Ace Man, get it on.
Give us your title.
Virginia is for Lovers.
Mm. Okay.
My movie is about an urbane city couple whose name is Lovers.
Oh.
They're the Lovers.
I see maybe Dennis Leary in this one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And
Sandra Bullock, perhaps?
Oh, they have worked together before.
They have.
To great effect.
That's
so
what I'm saying. It's
maybe.
High time we get those kids back together.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like her
the
and everything.
The first go-around
She's
was good.
So
what was that? What was that movie?
That was like One If By Land
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, it had a
terrible...
That's right. A
something
very
like
bad
that.
Title.
It's that. It's
two
high time.
One If By The Two or By Sea. Two
By
Sea. Yeah.
Two By The Sea. People right. have forgotten about that, and they're ready to move on
right.
and get on to the next 2.0 version of these two.
Right.
All right, so their now last name is Lover.
Yeah, they're the Lovers, and they are going to... And they want the Guinness World Record for longest kiss.
Oh.
And there's a big kissing contest in Virginia. So they're going to go to Virginia, where very fish out of water. Mm-hmm. They don't know what goes
right,
on in Virginia.
Right.
And they're going to enter this contest. But right before the contest, they get in a big fight.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both really competitive, and they really want this thing, so they're going to go do it anyway. But the thing is, like,
but they
hate each other.
They can't
exactly.
stand each other and have to stand lip-lock
yeah.
for a long
that's
period
good.
Of time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And what will happen? Will they rekindle their love for each other? I guess mm-hmm. I'm the one who would decide, and I say yes, by the end they will.
So this is a little Groundhog's Day meets the Great Outdoors yeah. or something like that. Meets
Meatballs
again.
Meets the Family Stone, probably.
They're
not
all
going to
meet
Stone.
Meatballs.
Now, where's Gary Cole fit in?
Gary Cole,
I'm the MC of the kissing contest.
Right.
Yes, you yes. are.
Who also runs the bait and tackle store in
right.
Virginia.
Who also exactly. tries to kiss all the ladies.
Right.
Yeah, that's his. That's his whole thing.
Yeah, he's inherently the same guy in the Sox movie. He's got the same charge pending.
And do you feel typecast in our movies already?
Yeah. No, you know what? I'm going to give you a little action. It turns out Sandy Bullock was stepping out.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh. That's how
to
she knows
back
about the contest.
At
Gary's, yeah,
to get
Gary's
back at Dennis Leary.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
where that...
For revenge.
And then as he's kissing her, he sees you walking past,
right.
you know, sort of buffing an apple
right.
on your thigh.
We could even
erotically.
Get in a fight later before the kissing contest
right.
actually starts, yes.
Yeah.
And for comic relief, if there even needs to be more,
yeah, maybe,
there's another couple that they're going up against, and both of them have matching clothes, and they're both like always whipping out chapstick and practicing and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we hate them.
Right.
And they're all off. Amy Poehler and Will Arnett, but not
right.
them.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gary's character has a comedic thing where he does everything in town. Like he does, he's a jack of all trades.
Mm-hmm.
And someone's like, "If only we had a blank." He's like, "Oh, I'd do that."
Yeah.
Like you do. He's constantly turning the sign around on his store.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he's got the new thing
mm-hmm.
on.
He wears yeah. many hats.
It's like
yeah.
those movies where you know the mayor is also yeah. the chief of police,
right.
who's also the head judge.
It's
and
Andy Griffith.
Yeah, yes. literally switches the hats. You know,
right.
and when the guy's going, when the judge hears about this, he's not going to be happy about this. Mayor,
right.
and then he pulls his hat
Man,
off.
I'm the judge.
And at
yeah.
some point, he puts his fishing hat on
right.
and leaves.
I'm the justice of the peace. I'm the jailer.
Right.
I'm everybody.
Right. All right. I like that. Brian, have you found
I've recovered.
What do you
Line
like?
Line 4.
Line 4. Hey, Bobby.
Get it on, Ace Man.
What's going on, Ricky?
How you doing, man?
Good.
All right. Try to work with this one. Mm-hmm. Life at the Speed of Love.
Mm.
Tricky.
Okay. Gary Cole.
Mm-hmm.
is a former marathon runner.
Uh-huh.
Excellent, like Olympic, you know, alternate, you know, mm-hmm. marathon runner, long distance runner.
Mm-hmm.
Paralyzed from the waist down
mm-hmm.
and is now wheelchair confined.
Mm-hmm.
And is embittered, cannot love again.
Mm-hmm.
Meets a young lady, maybe not so young, and she she convinces him to enter one of those handicap races, wheelchair race,
okay,
and
right.
he learns to love and live
at the
again.
Speed
at the speed
of love.
Speed
yeah.
of love.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right. Now let's figure out that chick.
But wouldn't it be at the speed of a chair or
Diane
no?
Diane Lane.
Dan Lane or Sarah Jessica Parker. I'm going Diane Lane.
Diane Lane.
Dan Lane.
I'll give that vote, Diane Lane. Yes,
there's a lot it. Of there's scenes where she's like in a she's on a Segway,
yes.
and she's in front of you, and she's leaning back, you know, like yelling at you, and you're
urging
like, I can't
on.
Go anymore, my yes. hands are bleeding, right. you know, and she's screaming at you.
Come on!
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
oh,
and
look
it,
at that. Oh,
and at
you
some
go.
Point, she delivers.
Now, wouldn't you wheel faster to get to that?
Yeah, get
I
to
would.
Those, yeah. And then at a certain point, she does this impassioned speech where she says, I knew you were a lot of things. But I didn't know you were a coward.
Oh.
And that's when she walks away.
Oh.
And you're out of your chair. You're lying
right,
down
right.
at that point.
Now he's not paralyzed.
Yeah.
And even if he, well, even if he still is, he gets out of the chair and
mm-hmm.
crawls to her
mm-hmm.
quickly.
And there's a moment, the turning point in the film is when you're pulling up to the Costco in your handy capable van. and there's an open parking space that says handicapped right in front, and you park 100 yards over and park in a regular one. That's
with swelling music.
That's
right?
When the music
with the Rocky
starts
music
swell.
Comes up. Yes.
Well, it feel alike. We can't actually use the Rocky music. Right. Come on, you got to know more about that. I'm guessing you were kidding about the Rocky music. And
Rocky-like music.
I feel there's sound alike and there's feel alike. We'll do the feel alike one. Yeah, sir.
Great shot as he's passing by, as he's considering taking the handicapped spot. He looks at himself in the mirror, adjusts the rearview mirror, gets a better look, shakes his head, and
Yeah.
This song plays.
Yeah. And I.
Not a dry eye.
Now. Yeah, this is where it starts. Yeah. Now, let's have. There has to be a nemesis.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I think I got this dude. Michael, what's his name?
Michael Rooker.
Perfect. Rooker.
Who's that?
With the bad guy in Days of Thunder. Bad guy in everything.
I was thinking I was thinking Billy Zabka.
Mm-hmm. No. Michael Rooker. Wasn't he in Cliffhanger, too?
Oh.
Yeah. Rooker. Rooker with a thick German accent.
Is Rooker his former nemesis, his race nemesis, gets wind of what's going on and then decides to race him in the wheelchair to spite him?
I was thinking about that, but I'd rather just have him as a German guy with the black state-of-the-art, you know, wheelchair, carbon fiber, no rolling resistance at all with the thick accent who's won 11 years in a row and it's not. And meanwhile, now this is getting better.
He has the evil wheelchair.
Yeah, it's the evil.
Sleek black evil wheelchair.
Right. Yes. You know, we do that thing where it's late night. We jib shot into your garage.
Right.
Neighborhood asleep, you know, dogs barking in the background, all the lights off, and just you lit by the arc welder. As you cobble together your rolling thunder, as you call it, made from a shopping cart that you stole from Costco.
Right out of the parking lot, yes.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is why when you go back to Costco, it's so extra meaningful.
Powerful. Yeah. And Rooker.
I got it right.
By the way, Rooker, you know, will do that thing where he's trying to cut you off and you're going harder.
The side swipe, trying to knock him off the side.
Mm-hmm. Right. He'll be throwing stuff down on the track.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of murder ball in there.
Yeah, a little murder ball. Yeah. It's powerful stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Again, what's the music sound like again when he decides not to utilize the handy cable? He will not park in that place. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, that's good.
It's a triumph of the spirit, this video.
It really is.
That is straight out of, isn't that, the theme from, it sounds like a theme from that, isn't it Stallone,
the
arm wrestling
Over the
movie?
Top.
Is that what it is?
This is a Kenny Loggins song called Meet Me Halfway.
It's sad that you knew that.
I did. It is sad, isn't it?
So sad.
I know it's just
a
while ago. I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's an incredible guess, by the way.
Here's the button, by the way. Here's the button. As your love interest is running in slow motion as you're going across the finish line, we see her trip on a parking block and go down.
And she's paralyzed!
She comes out of the hospital in a wheelchair with her foot up on a thing, and you know, that's that luck.
Couldn't be more bonded together.
Oh, so bonded. Crank it up.
And the slogan is, who needs legs?
Who needs legs? Wow, we're not going to do any better than this.
No.
Bobby, there you go, buddy.
His legs, and the Oscar goes too.
All right. Should we do a little more news before we wrap out of here?
Yeah.
Powerful stuff.
Can't wait to see that.
Let me tell you about True Car. Mm-hmm. Every car comes with stories. How do you put a price on those stories? Well, I'll tell you how you put a price on those stories. You go to True Car. That's right. So, do you have the luxury package? Did you buy it after the big promotion? How many miles are on it? What's going on? Well, you can't put a price on all those stories, but you can put a price on your car with True Car. Find out what it's worth. Just go to True Car, enter your license plate number, watch your car's details come popping up, then answer a few easy questions. Does it have navigation? Does it have a moonroof? These things are all going to factor in. Watch as they bump up the value. Is it high mileage? Might bring it down a couple of clicks. Well, you'll know what's going on. You'll figure out exactly what your car's worth. Once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent to you in minutes, which you can take to your local certified true car dealer to cash it out, or you trade it in. So when you're ready for a better car buying experience and you want to trade in a car, you want to cash out a car, you always go with True Car. True Cash Offer, not available in all areas.
All right, we're back. That was Gary Cole. For people unfamiliar, he played the dad in the Brady Bunch movies when they redid those in the 90s. He was also, of course, Bill Lumberg from Office Space, the worst boss ever. In the movie Dodgeball, he was one of the anchors of ESPN 8, The Ocho. And he's done a million other projects and films. One of my favorites is The Gift from 2000.
Thank you, Steve, for that request. But Steve wasn't done. He had another request for us.
Get out of here, Steve.
He wanted to hear Dr. Bruce get kicked out of studio. He writes that this is one of the most hilarious and classic examples of Adam shitting on Dr. Bruce. It's really funny. And Dr. Bruce can't help himself but go to Adam. And Carolla
can't help himself.
Kicks him out of the studio. Look, I'm not even going to finish this letter. Dr. Bruce does this on purpose. I'm convinced. There is one time we were doing the Adam and Drew show, and he had a fruit cup with him and didn't touch it until the theme song started playing. Then he proceeded to open the fruit cup and start eating fruit on air.
And it was like a gross Chinese fruit cup, too. Yeah. Like one of those weird ones where like, you're not even eating real fruit out of that cup.
He's trolling Adam. He has to be, right?
He's very on brand. As I've told in the past, he always used to get mocked on Loveline for how much sugar he put in his coffee. And it was basically a syrup and not a coffee. And when he sent me all of his old tapes, there was one tape that was seized shut and it reeked of something that smelled like coffee, but it was mostly a sugar-like syrup that had hardened into like a crystal. So over the years, the coffee syrup in his car that leaked on it had seized the tape shut. I had to remove all the screws, take the tape out, soak both entire wheels of tape in rubbing alcohol overnight, and then I had to rewind the tape by hand. Thanks, Bruce.
Bruce, it's almost an art form what you do.
Yeah, it's something.
But he's also one of my favorite people in the entire world. So here we go. Dr. Bruce getting kicked out of the studio.
Adam Carolla Show 806, featuring the producers of Don't Trust the Bee, Apartment 23, a sitcom that was somewhat short-lived. And this is during Dr. Bruce's Health Watch segment. He just can't help himself.
Yeah. Dr. Spans is in the studio. David Hemmingson, Ninotchka Khan as well. These guys, producers, writers, creators, Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. Dr. Bruce?
Yes, sir.
I feel sorry for you.
I'm enjoying this. This is entertaining.
Do you have a medical story you'd like to toss in so we can somehow justify your drive from Redlands out here?
Okay. Is there, yes. There's no good segue here, but...
Well, there was, but you just shat upon it.
That's why I'm here. That's why I'm Dr. Spaz. Yes. Hey, resveratrol. I'll start my medical enlightenment with a pet peeve. These shoes.
What shoes?
These are
the Skeletor
shoes.
These
scared me, and I know they scare many little children.
This is a guaranteed way not to get laid is to wear those shoes.
Yeah.
You'll never get fucked for your entire life to wear those shoes.
But this brings up, it's iconic to me, but is it a hippie thing like sprouting?
I don't, you know, I got a few feelings. Like, has anyone ever put on a fucking New Balance running shoe and went, oh, fuck this. Yeah. This is not going to work at all.
No.
I'll never be able to get out to my car in these.
Yeah. Like, I need to feel delineations between my toes. Yeah.
And like, the whole part where it's like, it's back to what? Getting your feet fucked up, running
like
barefoot,
like
kicking pine cones and shit?
Here's what's interesting. Now, I don't know if you know the claims, the health claims that were made for these. Let me tell you. Strengthening muscles in the feet and lower legs, improving range of motion in ankles, feet, and legs, stimulating neural function, improving balance and agility, align the spine, and improve posture.
Sure.
And right. Get laid
nice
more
talk
often.
To you.
Yeah. So now what's happening?
Listen, hold on. I'm old enough to remember the Earth Shoe movement.
Oh, me too, buddy.
And that's what I'm wondering. Is there some connection?
The Earth Shoe commercial for, oh, God. Earth shoes are the world's ugliest shoes. The commercial, the person would stand in sand. Mm-hmm. And when you'd stand in sand, of course, your heel sinks down an inch lower than the ball of your foot. And they're like, this is how man was naturally meant to. Yeah, if you're a professional beach volleyball player, that's how you're meant to stand.
Or a troglodyte.
Right.
Or some sort of Cro-Magnon man. Yes.
We have paved roads and sidewalks
airplanes
and hallways
and
here. Yeah, we got everything. Yeah. We got all the modern amenities here. So they do that. And so they made a shoe that actually the sole was under the ball of the foot was taller than where your heel was.
Like a reverse heel?
Yeah. Like a reverse
the
heel.
The most uncomfortable thing
and
ever.
And it was really as good looking as taking a sports car and jacking up the front end and lowering the rear. Like, that's what it did.
Did you have a pair?
Everyone
of those?
Looked like an asshole.
I had a pair.
There was a generic.
That's crazy.
By the way, JCPenney came out with the generic version of everything.
Ew.
That's how you know you're fucking scraping rock bottom. Like, there was the guys who had the real down parkas right. in junior high, and then the guys that had the Dacron ones, like the weird shit they use for insulation and ships in there. And then they had the same with like the shoes and like the jeans. It's like the equivalent of the tough skins to the Levi's.
Yes.
They had a shoe called Gass, G-A-S-S, and they had a fake Urshio.
Basically.
And the saddest thing I ever saw was a guy, some poor kid, obviously, who couldn't afford a real Urshoe shoe, had the Gass shoe.
Oh, no.
And it was such a cheap piece of shit shoe that it actually snapped in the middle. So it snapped halfway between the middle, but the leather was holding it together. So it was like hinged.
Oh,
and he was just walking around.
The sole was flopping.
Just playing it off. Just trying to play it off. Like, it's totally cool. Yeah.
I meant to do this.
You got to find me a Gass. Yeah. You got to find me a Gass shoe.
That would be a funny hidden camera thing. Just have two guys go to a bar, one wearing Earth shoes, one wearing the finger toe shoes.
Yeah. I got
to
see the bottom that says Gass. Yeah, see who doesn't get laid first.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm telling you, I think there should be a class action lawsuit. Like, I've always said,
I've seen those in Silver Lake.
You can separate the haves from the have-nots. It's pretty easy. Tough skins and Huffy versus Levi and Schwinn.
Yes.
Those how you can tell. And there should be a fucking class action lawsuit against JCPenney and Super Denim and Gass and all the people that made the shitty knockoffs.
That ruined people's
because
lives
all they did
forward.
Was ruin your life.
Yeah, yeah.
All they did was give you a scarlet letter. And for another $2, you could have had Levi's.
Yeah.
That's the sad part.
And you could have gotten laid it's before not, the age of 38.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, here's the interesting. There is a class action suit against the company that makes these.
Now, what a segue.
And what's interesting, it turns out they didn't produce any really good medical or research data, but the response to the lawsuit is, as with any innovation that ignores conventional thinking, there will always be some skepticism. Vibram's Five Fingers is no different.
It's that whole borderline too lazy for flip-flops. So I could only imagine the work that it would take to get into these. Like, I'm almost going maybe one flip-flop. Like, I'm a little
– Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, so fucking lazy with my feet now.
You got to, like, lube your toes up, you know? Payway on your toes to get your shoes on.
Like, my whole thing is I got to be able to put – I have to wear a shoe that I don't have to bend over to put on. I got to be able to step into these things. And if it's going to take a helper and some lube, I'm not doing it.
Well, people – have injuries with these because they go out right away and expect all these health benefits. But actually, if you don't take, as Vibram and Small Prince says, months to get used to them, you...
Let me tell you guys a shit design and a shit commercial for a shoe. It is the shoe I'm wearing right now. And the shoe is... And again, I was skipping my rope and I'm too lazy to take my shoes off. So there it is. Mm-hmm. And they're the Reebok ones, the new ones with the commercial where the little the guy's running down the trail and they're talking, the little knobbies are all talking to each other, right? And
the sole of the shoe.
The sole of the shoe. Yeah, they're all anime and they're going through the water and they're running down the trail and they're so
they hold their breath when they're in the water. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. It's a weird thing because I feel like we getting back to race here because it's been 10 minutes. We will shove a black guy into almost every commercial. Like, there'll be the four dudes driving the vintage Mustang and then the one black guy sitting in the middle. Like, we will shoehorn a black dude into every commercial, but not in a running commercial. It's always the white couple running. It's never have a black couple running. How come they don't jog? What's
the best
up?
Shoehorned black guy is when the good old boys get around to sing about Cialis. Like, hey,
one black guy.
Yeah.
One black guy.
And he's got like a tambourine.
Right.
And he's like sitting with a turtleneck in the background.
So they have the commercial where the guy's wearing these shoes and he's chugging down the gravel trail with his good-looking but not overly done-up white chick friend. I can't tell if they're fucking. Like, they're not married. It's not the activity of a married couple.
They're running buddies.
Yeah. And they're running on a gravel trail and it's perfect except for the gravel, anything the size between like somewhere between like a pea and a small grape will get wedged into the knobby and then shoved in as it gets spread apart. And then when it contracts, it'll get locked in. And you'll have to go home with a screwdriver and try to pick the fucking rock out.
Can you feel it?
You can A, feel it, and B, then when you're when you're walking at home and you're on your hardwood floor, you will feel the rocks that you have gathered up. So the shoe is a fine shoe. You're retarded for showing a commercial where you're running in the on the exact wrong surface for this shoe. If you run on gravel with this shoe, if you go off trail and off the road with this shoe, you will come back with a metric ton worth of fucking pea gravel shoved in your foot.
Yeah, so there's a lawsuit.
Foot full of rocks and a heartache full of tears. I mean, heart full of tears.
Did this contribute to your thigh injury, do you think? Were you wearing these at the time?
Lawsuit. Yeah, I tore a muscle in my thigh, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Is that good for you, Bruce?
I have a question for Dr. Bruce.
Please.
Do you mind?
Go ahead.
I haven't had the orgasm yet, so you need to finish my sentence.
I find it very interesting that you were in your scrubs and white lab coat.
They're props.
Okay. Do they make you wear this for radio?
No, not really. I just came from work and it was late.
That was my question. It was a wardrobe question.
What were you doing?
Straight up.
You work in the emergency room?
Yes. And so let's see. Pneumonias in kids and appendix. But the nurse, the triage nurse today, and I know she's a big fan, so I won't mention her name, but they're supposed to, send certain patients certain places, but they're getting everything backwards. Oh, it's just a UTI. Can't you just give them an antibiotic? It's an appendicitis. It's abdominal pain. It's a UTI, so it was one of those.
What's a UTI?
A urinary tract infection.
Oh, that was one of those tech schools.
Right. Well, just to say.
Going to UTI.
The measles rate quadrupled in 2011. So
because people aren't getting vaccines anymore?
Anytime I can beat the drum for vaccines. Jimmy calls me every year to give – he supports the vaccine movement.
Who does?
Jimmy.
Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah.
All right.
He wants a staff guy.
I'm talking about Jenny McCarthy.
Oh, Jenny. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
There's a Jimmy.
What's Jimmy want from you?
I go over there and do flu vaccines.
Oh, you go to Jimmy's place?
Yeah.
And vaccinate everybody?
Yeah, and I talk to one about you, and she goes, get it.
And you go to Craig Ferguson's place and release the SARS?
Right. Well, Jimmy actually had a group plan for that.
So measles up because people aren't getting vaccinated?
Absolutely. Four times the rate, and it's going to increase.
What's up? Are people just listening to all those Hollywood idiots?
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's
– Well, listen, if I can sue the guy who's making the crappy shoes for not living up to whatever he's promised, can't we sue Jenny McCarthy for going on Oprah and telling everyone – And by the way, if you're a physician, my apologies. But I don't know if she has any of those degrees. And she's just talking about not getting vaccinated, which borderline sort of it's dangerous. And you could end up in a couple deaths, right?
Yes, but it's free speech and it's proving that. Taking somebody to task and proving it. But it's a free speech issue, and you know how sticky wicked
that
is.
Why am I the only one telling these people to shut the fuck up at the time they're doing it?
Because you're not afraid to go against the grain.
Well, she's a cunt. I hate her because I had to do this fucking stupid candies PSA, and she's such a fucking first off, not funny. Just you talk. She made a movie and it sucked, and she wrote it and starred in it, and it blew ass. So that's how you know she sucks. She's not funny. Look, have fun getting old alone, sweetheart. I hate her and your stupid, stupid fucking vaccination. And now you're getting people sick. So thanks, Jenny McCarthy. Yeah.
Thanks for measles, Jenny.
And by the way, when you're done with your nude years, we don't need you anymore. So please shove off, please.
Yeah. Well, it's a conspiracy theory analogy, sort of. People can go on the internet and write about – I mean, somebody was telling me in front of my kids, well, the flu vaccine contains a element placed by the government that will cause sterility. Yes. Your children are sterile.
And also mind control.
And 9/11 was
and fluoride does too. Yes. That's how they get a big
thing. Also shrinks your penis.
Fluoride
just so
in water.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm. Right. So I was going to talk about
it. And are we still with me and the Asperger thing or what? Because Lynette never stops throwing that in my face.
I'm on your side, and I don't get any respect. There are certain people, Dr. Drew and his wife, think he has Asperger's, which. Totally.
I don't know why the fuck. Why is my wife running with this thing too? She's like, "Listen, I would listen to you, but you have Asperger syndrome, and I cannot be told anything by someone." I do not have a syndrome.
You have narcissism and lack of empathy at times. And
off.
Well, I'm just telling you what it's like. Sometimes
you get in a car accident on the way back to Redlands.
My element before he fix himself.
But I don't have Asperger's.
No, I don't think you do. I don't. I really don't understand that now. So you know, Asperger's is in the autism spectrum disorder.
That's the problem. Once you open this thing up to the spectrum thing, then of course everyone can go, well, it could have 1% of whatever. No, everyone I know is at least 10% retard, but I don't hold it against them.
Does this come up again? I mean, I get in the kitchen, an uncomfortable situation. Yes. When that brings it up, I'm sitting in the kitchen at the Corollas. Adam's in his robe. And drinking a coffee, which means he's taking his nap and he's not been awake long enough to be funny. He's grumpy. Mm-hmm. And I'm supposed to – Lynette's like, well, are you going to support this, Dr. Bruce? What do you think, Dr. Bruce? Is like, what do you think, Dr. Bruce, in front of Adam? And you know,
okay. She was giving me the – you know, twice a year she gives me the everyone thinks you're a douchebag speech, but they're too scared to tell you, you know, thing. And I was like, well, thanks for being the conduit then. You know, I appreciate that.
The last person who tried to tell you was Jenny McCarthy.
That's right. Let me see what happened to her. And then that rolls into the Asperger's thing, and then that's it.
So, you know, you kicked me off the show, even though I said you're sort of non-empathic and narcissistic.
No, I understand that. So, I don't mind that part of
it. The Asperger's, think about it. These are individuals that are really – they're almost like idiot savants in terms of they're focused in one area, but they're very uncoordinated. So that's the – here's the guy that, you know, without blowing hot air up your ass, is one of them.
You have 15 minutes.
No, one of the most coordinated guys, especially the lower body and eye-hand stuff. And that's pretty uncharacteristic.
Wait, that's the only thing that's preventing Adam from being
Asperger's? No. Me riding the unicycle. One spill on the unicycle away from having full-blown Asperger's.
No, that's not the whole thing, but it really doesn't fit. And
so you're saying Asperger's people are uncoordinated physically.
Usually they're just bumping into things. Coordination is just one of the things. So.
I thought it was a social
thing. I was going to say,
it is. Well, that's what we're talking about. There's sort of social difficulty communicating when meeting people, lack of empathy. And
I didn't know there was a physical element, like an uncoordinated element.
Bruce, aside from the physical, for our guests and for the audience who may not know, describe maybe the top five signs of Asperger's.
Well, thanks for putting me on the spot. Look on the – go Google it. I'm not an Asperger.
There's a DSMO.
He's going a direction there.
Autism, lack of focus.
He just wants to play his ding. Play your ding sounds when he says everything about me. Go ahead.
Likes race cars.
Go ahead, Bruce. Play along.
What are we doing?
Just give the top three.
That Asperger's people have.
Inability to socially – inability to communicate, difficulty communicating –
I probably don't make eye
Bruce,
contact.
Bruce, are you
right?
Not picking up the comedy, the rhythm hearing, of the comedy?
He's not hearing the drop.
Remember, you used to do this on Loveline. You'd go, okay, let's role play, and I'm like, what? And then you'd yell at me, throw me out for five
Listen,
minutes.
You're supposed to say a narcissistic inability to socialize with others, inability to pick up social cues.
Yeah, there you go.
Self-absorbed. Likes the smell of his own farts when he's alone in the car.
Difficult to report.
I just added that one.
All
right.
Okay, so anyway, how did this start? The Asperger's thing came up again?
All right. Bruce, I've had an ass burger full of you. Okay? So why don't you just excuse yourself?
That was inevitable.
I had another point to make.
And
I think
make it out in the hall.
I don't think I had any
facing the wall.
It's been a pleasure meeting
unplug,
you.
Nice to meet you.
Unplug your mic or something, would you? Or maybe we'll shut that off so we can get a little... Get a little news in here. You know what? As a matter of fact, just go ahead and do a shoulder roll to the front door. Good to see you, Bruce.
Bye, Dr. Bruce.
Good seeing you, buddy. Yeah. I don't know what's in it for my wife. You know what I mean?
Well-oiled machine.
Yeah. Well-oiled, just great. Obviously worked it out beforehand.
Yes. Oh, we do that every time,
Totally. No. There's a Venn diagram of how that was going to go.
Well, automatic.
It's just like I was saying with the picking and being a bad picker and having bad taste, there's certain people that have – it's not that they don't have timing. They have anti-joke timing.
Exactly.
It's like I always say, it'd be like calling my mom a bad comedian. She's not even a comedian. She's anti-joke. Like she has zero comedy. And Bruce will do the opposite of whatever you'd like him to do.
Exactly.
No matter what that is.
It's a
you
joke
tee it up
fireball.
For him and he basically, he's a joke hole. He's a giant joke hole.
Yeah. He is like a pit bull of comedy, and you have a rawhide chew toy, and you're pulling one direction, and he's pulling the other direction, and then you spin around 180 degrees, and he's pulling the direction you were pulling. It doesn't matter as long as he's going the opposite direction. You can spin around all day long.
Just canceling the comedy out.
That's what he does. Yes. All right. Should we do a little bit of news?
LifeLock. Ooh, here's something scary. Database belonging to a Chinese smart home device company was left exposed. And guess what? The bad guys got their hands on more than 2 billion logs containing everything from user passwords to account reset codes. Your info's out there. There's people who know a heck of a lot more than you do about a computer that are trying to hack into it and steal your information. You need to protect yourself. You own a car. You drive a car. It's a great convenience. Now, how about you get some insurance for everything else in your life with LifeLock? So many threats out there in today's world. You have to protect yourself. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. It's 2019. Let's protect ourselves. Let's get ourselves some LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code ADAM for 10% off your first year. That's promo code ADAM at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
All right, we're back. Thank you, Steve, for both of those wonderful requests. Really appreciate it. Now, before we get to our next clip, a reminder, this Saturday at the Golden State Theater, Adam's going to be doing Adam Carolla's Unprepared, along with ACS regular Adam Ray. They're going to be doing some stand-up and pulling some ping-pong balls, so make sure to check that out. And then August 30th at World of Speed Motorsports Museum, Mario Andretti live on stage with Adam for a live car cast and a car show, and that's in Portland. So please come out to that Friday, August 30th. Now it's time, Gio.
For what?
The 2014 Ace Awards.
What? Adam Carolla Show 1479? Featuring Allison Rosen and Brian Bishop, the 2014 Ace Awards. Are we talking about that? Whether we chopped and screwed, we cut off the intro, the outro, we cut out some live reads and made it as tight and perfect as possible, and the best way to really listen to it? You talking about that, Ace Awards?
You know, I actually wasn't, but since you brought all that up, I'm going to just go ahead and listen to that one.
Adam Carolla Show, 1479, 2014 Ace Awards. Check it out.
Let's get started with the Ace Awards and Best Impression.
The nominees for Best Impression are Dana Carvey as both George Bush's, President Obama, and Matthew McConaughey.
So I had a thing about W calling Senior, and he was at the ranch and trying to figure out the tub. There was a leak. So, Daddy, we got a leak in the tub at the ranch. Well, you got to check it out. Might have to cock it. Might have to peel that face. And yeah, Daddy, we already did that. We still had some leakage. I called the guy, and he hadn't called me back yet. I emailed his partner, and they're going to come out and check. Well, you got to stay on it. Yeah, we got a... We tried the first ratchet tool to take the screen out, Daddy, but it didn't really work. And then we emailed the guy who makes the tool that will fit, and then I called him twice. Well, keep on it, son. And this is like a 10-minute thing. I'll just...
Do you think Barack Obama's ever sitting on the toilet yelling out to Michelle, Michelle, we need some toilet paper in here.
we must make a decision about what we're going to do in terms of wipeage. We need some Charmin or whatever we can do. What? That's not true. That is not true. We're going to decide to make a decision about the decisions that we have to decide. The big one now is Matthew. Right.
That's right.
So right. Well, I'll just keep on living.
Gilbert Gottfried as Norm MacDonald.
Gilbert, you be Norm, I'll be me. Hey, Norm, it's Adam Carolla. Remember, we were going to do the whole drive.
Yeah, Adam.
And we were going to do the whole drive.
You're a comedian.
Yeah, we're oftentimes mistaken for each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that is funny.
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah, we're going to do the driving. Remember that whole thing where I was going to teach you how to drive?
Yeah, driving. That's where you get in behind the wheel of a car and you drive it.
Yeah, right. Oh, by the way, what would Bob Dylan sound like if I was asking to do a driving show with him?
J.L. Colvin as Adam, President Obama, and Donald Trump.
First of all, Adam, it's a great honor for you to have me here, so you're welcome. I have, as you know, and as many people know, great, huge business experience, plus experience fighting trolls like Rosie O'Donnell. I know I can take this campaign and make it really, really, really great. The fact is, when I associate my name with any project, it immediately becomes better, which is why I'm renaming this project the Donald Trump Extra Premium Luxury Patent Troll Fight.
Yeah, okay, not on my watch. Our next guest is an even bigger deal than Scrooge McFuck over there. It's the President of the United States, Barack Obama. What an honor.
Thank you, Adam, for having me here. I think this is an important issue. Okay, I believe small businesses are the backbone, of America. So any help you need, okay, I'm happy to give.
So, Mr. President, you've written a couple of New York Times bestsellers, huh?
Yes, actually, I wrote two books on the New York Times bestseller.
Oh, two. You know what we call that in the Corolla household? Good start.
Well, while you were talking to the Kenyan in chief, we just lost 4 trillion jobs to China. Maybe if we spent less time discussing fake Ivy League degrees and more time discussing great products like my ultra luxurious premium vodkas, this economy wouldn't be in such shambles. Hey, Adam.
Yeah?
How do you make a millionaire? You give Donald Trump $1 billion because he loses money. That's what they call a burn.
Tom Stern as Adam Carolla and a foreign tow truck driver.
We see this guy putting your BMW up on the tow truck.
Right.
And so we said, hey, that's our friend Adam's thing. And you know, I don't get, I do job, you know.
Right.
So then someone said, get Adam. So then I think you came out and said, what the fuck's going on here?
He's doing both voices. Keep going. Yeah.
And we're like, Adam, he's towing your fucking thing. You come up, you start to have one of your, you know, rational conversations with the minimum wage worker.
Right.
Which doesn't go as you'd hope.
No, it and does then, not. What's the guy sound like again?
What is it? You're like, hey, come on, just drop the back wheels and I'll get out of here. Okay. Right.
And what the guy sound like though?
No, I do job. Right. I do job. Right. I get paid $3.59 an hour.
And Alan Tudyk as Ed Wynn.
To be honest, how much young pussy do you get with that voice?
Oh.
Yeah, he had like 4 kids. You wouldn't think of it. Like that. Like he was one of those people. I didn't get any. Let's make another baby. I'm feeling. Oh, this my pit. It's so hard.
All right. Am I heated up? We good? Yeah. All right. Thank you guys once again. And the winner is Dana Carvey, everybody. Brian would have played some sound effects of clapping right there. Thank you so much. All right. This is the ACE Awards. We do it every year. Allison and Brian are both running late, and we got to get our party on next door. So we're going to get to that in a second. But next up, rant of the year.
Our first nominee for Rant of the Year, the unaired NPR interview.
Went across town to do an NPR show, the Brian Lehrer Show, and I sat down with Brian Lehrer. He played me this Joe Coy clip.
Made to work.
Yes.
To labor.
I will build car for cheap.
He started with this part.
Toyota.
Yes.
And then the guy sort of came back and said, well, what do you think of that? Don't you think that's disrespectful, you doing that stereotypical Asian voice? And I said, well, that wasn't me. That's Joe Coy, and he's Asian. And he said, in a super condescending way that I don't think he is aware of, he said, well, I guess that's better. And I said, I appreciate you trying to ambush me and all, but you guys really should have done your homework because that wasn't me doing the voice. So next time you plan one of these ambushes, do your homework. Over a month went by and it never played. And I said to Matt, they're not going to play it at all. This is a group who says,
They never stop beating the drum of everyone's entitled to their opinion. Let your freak flag fly. Whatever you want to do, you do. That's up to you. That's your business. This group is 110% behind you unless you disagree with them. Because if you disagree with them, you're getting stifled, bitch. So it's everyone should be able to do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want to do it, as long as you agree with everything they say. And then it's fine. If you disagree with what they say, now you have to shut up. Moreover, we'll never play your words. I came to your fucking studio in the middle of Manhattan on the 9th floor and came up and sat down and did a half-hour long-form interview with you guys that you'll never play. And the only reason you'll never play it is because you got burned doing what you try to do to people. It makes you look like... It doesn't make you look bad. It makes you look like what you are. That's the part you don't want people to see. It's a fucking mirror. It's not a funhouse mirror. I just fucking hit it with my fucking truth of pledge. Or Windex. Sorry, I was on a roll.
Fuck those guys. I swear to God, what fucking hypocrites they are.
The rant's over, buddy.
I don't give a...
The rant's over.
I've had three beers, Brian.
The rant's still going.
Three tall boys. Brian has entered the studio. They're such fucking hypocrites that they brought me in to do an interview, except for when I fucking burn them with the fucking truth, which is them trying to paint me as a racist. They never aired it. Mm. Think about all they talk about.
I'm excited for when it does air. I'm holding my breath a long time.
All those people do. You know what their whole drum beat is? Bush lied. People died. Really? Okay, Bush lied? How about you fucking liars? How about when we said to you, how come this interview never aired? And they're like, well, we're doing our pledge drive right now, so we're not airing it right now. And then later on, 2 months later, it's like, we're not going to air it.
Yeah. And then the whole thing about a gotcha or any gambit like this, when you make it a gamble, there's a risk to the gamble. They thought it was 1 or 0%, but there's a risk, and the risk is you look like fools.
Yes, I will see if I can make Adam Carolla look like an ass and a racist.
Worst case scenario, it doesn't go so... No, it went really well.
It didn't work, and now you won't air.
You gotta pay. You gotta pay your bills.
Nope.
Pay your debts.
Never going to air that interview because
probably
you guys
not
look
gonna
stupid.
Air the probably not going to air the interview.
It's been 7 months.
Are you drinking the Swami's IPA?
Oh, God, I love this stuff.
That's pizza port. That's really good stuff. They come in the taller tall boys and they're...
Yeah.
Make the IPAs really good.
Oh, my God. So good. All right, Allison's running late. Brian's running a little bit late. We want to get to drinking our beer and eating eating our ribs, so we'll get to that in a couple of few. But now, most uncomfortable moment.
The nominees for most uncomfortable moment are... Staff steals Adam's beer.
I spoke to M. Effer, and I said, where exactly is the beer stashed? And he said, well, some of your ex-friends...
That's some foresight.
Took a few cans home with them. Max Zapata took three sixers, 18 beers, home with him. Gary, you took a case. Mike Altier, case for you. Case for the MF-er. Dawson.
I took a 12-pack home.
12-pack. And he's an alcoholic. Okay? He has a fucking... No, hold on. I say this with love. He has a fucking problem. And he took half of what the MF-er took. Adam. Matt did the first case, so he has the most guilt here. And then who did the second case?
Well, hold on a second, because a lot of things have been said. A lot of feelings have been shared.
Yes.
But there's been some misunderstanding. See, I took the four cases to hold on for you, Adam.
Hold on, MF.
That's what he looks like when he's lying.
You took the four six-packs.
All for you.
The case for me.
Yep.
Where is the case now?
It's, maintaining its temperature in my closet, but I'm just trying to keep them at the right temperature for you.
Now, so like over the weekend, should I just come over and get it a beer at a time, or should I take a chance and grab a whole six pack?
You're welcome anytime, bro.
Oh, boy. Yep.
Greg Fitzsimmons, pencil holder.
Greg Fitzsimmons famously has a story about sticking a pencil up his ass. I just wanted to know if you had a story like that, Adam.
It's getting more famous.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Greg. What's that story about putting a pencil in your ass?
Oh, no, I think he was just saying as an example for you to tell a totally different story than the one about the pencil up my ass.
I'm pretty sure he wanted to hear the pencil story.
Which begs
a lot. Was it a regular pencil or mechanical pencil? And then what would be cool with the mechanical pencils, you start twisting your ear and the lead starts coming out. You know? That'd be a cool move.
That I mean, you could do that without control. A pencil, though.
Yeah.
If you were talented.
So what was the occasion when you did this?
It was Tuesday.
It's not a story. It's a thing.
A fable?
It's a thing. It's a thing I did. There's no beginning, middle, and end. I used to put a pencil in my ass when I masturbated when I was like 13.
Oh wow! So
that's
this
no
was
story. I don't know how you call
a real
it a
more
story.
Than once occurrence.
And as far as the pencil goes,
right.
Business end, eraser end. What are we talking about here?
I mean, you're making a joke out of something that was it was meaningful to me.
Right.
I don't remember why I used to put the pencil up my ass, and I don't know why this guy brought it up. But it's Valentine's Day. We could probably move on to some other stories.
And Gary's first class flight.
I feel like there's a fair bit of guys who beat off on an airplane.
No.
Oh, yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
No.
With the blankets over them?
No, no. I'd say bathroom.
Okay, bathroom. Okay, I just seriously
at the stall.
You sound like you've done.
Gary, what do you? What? Yes, airplane.
Sure.
Bathroom?
No.
Sure. Yeah, guys are fucked
Wait a minute.
Up.
There
no
was
wonder
a
there's
yes
a
line.
Yes for airplane and yes for bathroom. That means also not in the bathroom.
It's a long flight.
Not in the bathroom.
It's happened. I'm not proud of it.
In the bathroom.
Oh my God. Miss, I'm done with this blanket.
Oh my God.
Oh wow. White Ice was his nickname. That was his handle. There was a Goose, Maverick, and White Ice.
Wait,
all right, hold on, Gary.
Horrifying.
We need some information.
No, we don't.
I'm with Brian. I don't think we do.
Actually, I think we do.
I beat off many places, but never an airplane. I'm not passing judgment, but I would just assume, because Greg Fitzsimmons came on here and talked about beating off on an airplane, but the bathroom, the quiet dignity to go to the bathroom and beat off all over everyone else's shit, that I would think of, but the seat.
That's brazen.
That's
brazen.
Bold.
And I'm guessing coach. First class.
You can't pull that on coach.
Not at 6'4"
and
a half. You can't.
First class.
So first class.
Yeah, they're like more tissue lotion.
Oh wait, was it like an international flight where like the little pod?
Yeah.
Oh.
I had some privacy.
Oh, you have to then.
Yeah,
oh,
you almost yeah. had to.
Okay,
I wanted to get my money's worth.
Were you watching like a sexy movie then?
I mean, I had my iPad. Yeah.
All right.
All worthy candidates.
Paul Bryan here now. Allison Rosen here as well.
Fuck Hollywood traffic.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you didn't miss too much. We did Best Impression. Mm. We did part one of Rant of the Year. And then that was the tail end of Most Uncomfortable Moment. And I just started on time because I want to get my booze on and my ribs on over at the other warehouse. And we're all going to go for our Christmas party after this. All right. So the winner for Most Uncomfortable Moment is Gary's Jetliner Jerk Off, everybody. Thank you.
Okay.
There's so many people I want to thank.
Women have no idea how guys are wired. They just really...
I feel like I'm getting an idea.
You're getting an idea, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's eye-opening.
Yeah. And that's why, though, when you think your particular boyfriend or husband, like, oh, my God, you're sick or whatever, that's everyone.
I think the first instinct, Allison, you can confirm this or not, is, oh, he doesn't do that.
Yeah, right. And then,
yeah.
And then they do.
He does.
I married the one guy who doesn't.
That's very fortunate. You found the one guy who
I know.
Doesn't do that.
Lucky.
The next category, and we have, like... 21 categories, so I'm going to push it along, is Best Friend of the Show.
Oh, this is the first.
Our first
number
nominee
one.
For best yeah. friend of the show, David Alan Greer.
So in the dream, though, we did not actually have sex.
What, I just sucked on your titties? What I got?
We were going to.
Tell me I licked your ass. Did I lick your ass?
No, not...
Huh? A raisin?
So describe in detail what happened in the dream, Allison.
I think I was just making plans to spend a night with you.
Because we were in a relationship, right?
In a dorm room.
Can we get some music? I mean, some background.
Is where it was going to be.
I'm not saying Teddy P, but goddamn.
This is love, Brian. It's not just sex.
They have is real.
Yeah. How about some Isaac Hayes? Even if you see me walk the...
Oh, shit! Whoa! Oh, God!
Gosh almighty. I'm sorry I get excited, baby. It's real slow. Real slow.
I really wish I could remember. I feel like there were more details right afterwards.
Just
yes.
pull your hair back.
Dag will get them out.
Back your neck. Let me see that neck. Let me see that neck.
I'm wearing a turtle. That's the funny thing.
See, right now I'd be sucking all on that motherfucking jugular vein. I'd be kicking your shit all up. Black, blue, purple, red, deep, deep, deep bruises. Let's take a shower. So take me through it. You were getting ready.
Yeah, I was making plans. I
did
think
you shave your legs?
I did.
Did you douche? No need. I like the natural pussy funk. I do.
Because I didn't douche.
So respectful.
I like how he uses the douche question, but they're shaving the legs.
Do you see? It was kind of flirty, though. You're like, I
did. I know. It's weird. It's still happening. So, all the feelings.
It all comes rushing back.
It does come rushing back. I woke up and I was like, maybe I have feelings for Dag that I didn't know about. Because, like I said, in the. Yes.
Rush through it.
Okay.
Was your pussy wet or was it just clammy? Was it just gummy? I tell these people all the time, think it, don't tweet it. Don't tweet it. Please do not press send. These young men don't understand. We do a little seminar with the incoming rookies. Get them together. You know, get off the Twitters.
Mm.
Get off the Facebooks.
Yeah.
Get off the all the trendy, you know.
Well, you know,
whatnot.
You got to be careful how you
Move
treat
your
the
feet.
Yeah, gotta be careful how you treat the ladies.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Be careful, everyone's watching. DUIs, how to handle your money.
I always tell them, look here, you know, keep 100 on the dashboard for the cop, for the police man. Okay?
Yeah.
If your man handle a woman, walk her to the door.
No, Brian, okay. Coach Cox?
Yes, sir. Walk her to the door.
I don't want to interrupt
on
you.
Her ass.
I don't want
to. Yeah. Say, hey, girl, I'll see you next week. Don't be like, bitch, you was late. You
Coach Cox, I don't want to interrupt your symposium.
Also, move your feet. Move your feet.
Yeah.
Keep your hands in front.
We're not sending a message.
Keep your hands in front.
Coach Cox?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to interrupt the symposium with the rookie symposium. But what we're trying to teach the young folks in the room here is
rookies, if you take a picture of your dick, go from top down to the left. That's the best angle.
Yeah.
But you know,
Coach
and
Cox,
don't get your hand in.
Ironically, Coach Cox, with an X, stops laughing back there.
Yes, sir.
we're trying to teach these young people, don't take a picture of your penis. Don't text it out.
Okay,
don't
then.
Bribe the police officer. Obey the speed limit.
Yes.
Don't raise your hand to a woman. Now,
let's talk about strip club, fellow.
Well, no, yeah.
None of y'all don't know how to fan your ones. Now,
no,
this creates a problem.
Coach, we're
for the hoes on
we're
stage.
Asking him not to
you
go.
You got to fan first, then you...
Yeah. I'm so in love with Brian Cox.
Yeah.
This is Brian Cox, right?
It's disrespectful.
I'm so in
disrespectful.
Love with him and his rookie symposium.
Yeah. Instructing all the incoming NFL rookies on how to conduct themselves.
He's fucking,
on and off
he's
the
a human being who's actually insane who coaches in the NFL. Mm-hmm. All right, next up, best invention.
Mm-hmm.
The nominees for Best Invention are the Wheelchair Dickie.
I just came up with an invention. It's kind of a dicky for chairs. You know, it's not like not like a full turtleneck,
but a mock
the top
mock
of
handles.
Top of every chair you have should just have grips and handle. Like Bill, so every picture you take sitting down goes, oh, he's confined to a wheelchair. Like every picture, you get a lot of sympathy that way. You know what I mean? And you know, you don't want to drag around a bulky wheelchair everywhere, but the little aluminum handle anodized with the grips on there, all you need is the top 6 inches. They just clip onto any seat, you know, slide in, clamped on.
That's brilliant.
Probably getting some extra sympathy at work, you know. Hey, boss, I got to leave early, you know, the chair and all. And then you walk out to your car.
The Will Do app.
There should be an app for your phone. When it hears Will Do for the 55th time, it hangs up. It gets very staticky, and then it just flatlines, and it won't recognize that other number. Right. All you have to do is say the phrase, will do, 5 times in the course of 2 minutes, and it will hang up with it. Someone invent this app.
The condiment dinghy.
I got an idea. Everything that comes in the big container, every Costco-sized, the jumbo mayonnaise, whatever it is, should come with a little, like, that's the yacht. It should come with a little dinghy. You see the dinghy that gets dragged behind the yacht?
A little Zephyr?
Yeah, the little Zephyr just gets dragged behind the yacht. And that's the little one that only holds 3 ounces. And it's empty. It's the empty one. But when you exhaust the one that's the size of a bucket, you then spatula out what's left, put it in the little one, and put that one like they do with the Tabasco.
Mm-hmm.
But it's unfilled. But this is the little Zephyr that just gets dragged behind the yacht.
I'm going to say a Zodiac.
Just a little dinghy. They just have a, so it's like you get the big tub, and then you get the one that's... It's there's one sandwich worth. It's the one sandwich container. Peanut butter, mayonnaise, whatever it is. And it's whoever's job who makes that last sandwich out of the big one to take the remainder, transfer it into the dinghy.
Divorce cam.
And I would definitely start going to ball games if there was just, instead of that kiss camera, we had the divorce cam, and you're up on the Jumbotron, and the chick's like, what? I thought we had a...
Head both lawyers are sitting there.
Yeah.
Heaving sobs.
Kids traumatized. What? He's gay? What? She's a beard? This all been a lie? What? I wasn't planned. Hold on. The divorce cam. Write that down.
And the beet bracelet.
When you order the beet salad or the beet dish, they should give you a little clip-on bracelet, like one of those little plastic laminate bracelets that gets you backstage at the car show or whatever it is. Just snap one on your wrist so that when you take a dump that night, you don't have a fucking heart attack. Because what happens is I eat 3 pounds of beets at, you know, 2 in the afternoon and then go back and have a couple of tall ones. And then that night, I'm sitting on the toilet with a little buzz and I go, oh, my God, my innards are coming out of me. But if I had just my little beet bracelet...
You'd remember.
Hey, dummy, you had beets.
I don't think I would have to say that much. I think just a bright purple bracelet. And as I said, running into other people that had their beet bracelet on...
And knowing not.
Oh, but you guys would be hugging it out brothers, with strangers.
Beet brothers. These all hold up, by the way.
Tight race.
They're all still needed.
Ooh, and the winner is the beet bracelet. It's fun. It's just fun.
Practical.
Well, look. Whatever the beet salad is with the goddamn goat cheese, you add in another 4 cents. You've covered the price of the rubber band beet bracelet.
Okay.
All right. This is Rant of the Year, Part 2.
Our second nominee for Rant of the Year, Dora and Caillou.
There should be a battle royale, which is Dora the Explorer meets Caillou in the artistically bankrupt department of zero meets nothing meets... I could not create anything for people who were older than 5 or were not severely mentally impaired. Mm-hmm. Because if you watch those cartoons, everything from the fucking names to the color palette to everything is off-putting. It's a fucking waste of time. And it's a waste of time for five-year-olds as well. And my wife would always go, no, it's good because they can learn to interact and they can learn the words and they can learn... What do you think? What would have happened if not for fucking Caillou? If not for the fucking bald kid from Canada or the fucking Mexican cunt or their stupid fucking Swiper the Fox? What? All you're doing is exposing them to shit. It's shit. It's fucking shit. I'd rather them fucking stare at a blank slate than look at the. I'd rather look at their own reflection on the TV that's unplugged than watch Dora the Explorer or Caillou or any of this other junk that you fucking pussies who pass yourself off as heroes create to pollute the minds of young kids. And let's make sure there's no words minced here. You guys are fucking unadulterated hacks who could not do anything that anybody with two brain cells to rub together could enjoy. You're not deciding to focus and concentrate on young children. You cannot cut it in an adult world where people are discerning and you actually have to compete. So instead, you fucking cop out and you create shit which does nothing but pollute kids' heads and eventually has to be undone by me yelling at the nanny to undo it. No. Fucking coward hat.
No. I pray you guys can have children one day so you can experience the majesty of Dora the Explorer and Caillou.
And the joy of rearing a child and teaching
no,
about the,
just oh. those two oh. shows. All right. Now, moving on. Best reenactment.
Ooh.
The nominees for Best Reenactment are Adam and Ian Edwards for Naive Drug Counselor.
I'm saying you should probably stop doing drugs, although I don't really know what they do. I know they make you feel great, you know, when you're feeling blue. I know, is that something that we talk are feeling not happy?
Can I just tell you some of the things that I did on drugs?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Counselor,
yeah.
I sold my baby.
And that was a car?
No,
because my dad has a 44 step side F-100 Ford that he just calls his baby. Sold your baby?
Yeah, but I didn't really have a dad either. So,
Why would you sell your baby for drugs?
Because the baby didn't make me feel good, and drugs did.
Was it the cocaine or was it the marijuana?
It was marijuana.
Would you smoke like a marijuana cigarette, or would you use what they call a bong?
We'd roll the joints and put PCP and stuff in there.
I don't know.
Really, you know what PCP is?
That must stand for something. Stretch a highway that runs along the Pacific Ocean.
Can I speak to your manager?
Now, what I need somebody to do, as you can hear, I could probably use some lozenges. Could somebody run to the liquor store and just give me some lozenges, please?
I'm
scratchy.
I'll do it.
Okay, here's $700.
All right.
But make sure and come back with change.
You know what? You're the best counselor I ever had.
Now, hold on. I want the secrets, okay?
Right.
In the tin, if you could. Uh-huh. Oh, you know, let's make it $1,700. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
If you're not back in 3 days, I'm going to come looking for you. And scene. Thank you.
Adam and Allison for Premature Ejaculating Caveman.
I wanted to know if you think there was ever a time in history, like before people knew premature ejaculation was that, where it was like looked at as a good thing, like premature ejaculators were of the higher in the scale of man.
If we're to take this question seriously, I would say yes, back in maybe the caveman days or
when they needed paste.
But not when you had natural predators and the saber-toothed tigers and so what. If you want to get the species going, you gotta come quickly. Get out of there before the tiger gets you. Your pants are down around your loincloths are down around your goddamn ankles.
Think of all the cavemen who died in the midst of having sex because they were so wrapped up they didn't hear the
woolly
animal.
Mammoth.
Yes.
That's how my great-great-great-great-grandfather went. That would be funny one. Like, this is Tobar. Look, we got to get it on. Normally, I eat pussy for good. I know we don't have units of time, but as long as that log would take to burn, that's how long I eat pussy for. as long as it would take you to, as long as it would take you to like dry salted meat, you know, or skin a water bison and cure the leather. That's how long I ate pussy for.
Jerky time. No,
jerky time is what I call it. That's how long I normally I eat pussy. But I've seen a saber-toothed tiger wandering around this cave. Let me just cut to the quick here. Like, I normally eat pussy all day long. And for, again, for as long as it takes you to gather a bushel of firewood, that's how long I eat pussy for.
That's a very long time.
Okay? Okay. But I've seen multiple. I don't know if it's the same one, honestly. I can't tell the difference myself. I can't tell them apart. The saber tooth, big furry cat,
yeah.
big
tooth. To us, they all look the same.
They all look the same. I've seen them wandering around the cave. And if we don't have sex really quick, then I can't impregnate you. You know, I'm getting eaten by a tiger over here. So I just put it in you and just kind of, you know, and then you get pregnant. And then early man would turn into, you know, again, kind of responsible for the future, if you don't mind.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Mm. So what you're saying is you don't have time to eat pussy for as long as it would take for me to gather firewood or cure a skin or burn a log.
But yeah, or do the whole salted, dried meat thing.
Right.
Right.
So what do you have time for?
Speed dating.
I got a little head, a blowjob. I don't know what we're calling them these days. And, oh, sorry, I just came on your tits. I know that sounded weird.
That's not going to help late
yeah.
man at all.
You know what? Let me just go. Let me go to my man cave and really think about this one. Okay?
All right.
Don't move. I'll be back tomorrow.
And Adam and Eric Stone Street for dog having sex with owner.
Listen, as a dog, you got a few choices. You could be doing the Iditarod and pulling a lesbian from Anchorage to Nome, you know, and dying along the way. You could be at the airport sniffing out bombs or backyard fruit, or you could be fucking your owner. You know, given that spectrum, not bad. When the dogs are like hanging out at the dog park and they're talking, and one of them's like, hey, I just got a new basket and it's lined with fleece, so I don't want to brag, but yeah. By the way, yeah.
I'm fucking my owner.
Huh?
Yeah. I'd love to hear more about your bed, but I got to go fuck my owner.
Oh, shit. I was going to tell you about this new kibble I got that's got lamb in it. But
kibble. Yeah. I got to get back because my owner likes it in doggy position. Can you believe that?
Well, that's
so fucking
position.
Predictable. Anyway, I got to go fuck him. I'll talk to you later.
Oh, Jesus. I was going to tell you a story. Well, hold on. Let's tell you a story where I got to hang my head out the window of the station wagon.
Oh, really? That sounds great. You ever gotten a blowjob from your owner?
No, fuck
no. It's fantastic. That's
no,
great.
I didn't. We got
dog sex under overrated.
I got my name on the collar. It's shaped like a heart.
That's great. I'm going to have a 69 in just a few minutes. With my owner.
Yeah. Hey, my owner just got one of those leashes that's, you know, it's like retractable. It can let out up to 12 feet.
And I put a leash on my owner.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck. I'm just going to go over here and lick my
go
balls.
Over the, yeah, why don't you go lick your balls?
Yeah,
I'm going to go have my owner lick mine.
Love that Modern Family, by the way. Mm-hmm. My God, I was watching that show last night and really enjoying the shit out of it. All right, so that's reenactment. The winner is Eric Stone Street, everybody. God, he's good on that show. Everyone on that show is good, but God, is he good on that show.
Indeed. He's good on this show.
He's good on this show. He's good everywhere. All right, moving on. Best live read.
The category.
I didn't know.
The nominees for Best Live Read are Mike Rowe for Dollar Shave Club,
One of the best jobs is pitching Dollar Shave Club, man. I love those guys.
Those are great ads, man. Great ads.
Love these guys. The industry, it's a $1 billion-a-year industry, the shave companies, all the ridiculous crap, the razors that vibrate, the handle, they got a back scratcher,
six blades, laser pointer.
7 blades.
9 blades.
120 blades. More blades than we can count.
It's like a weed whacker with blades.
It is a crazy ninja coming at your face. The first blade pulls the whisker out. The second insults it verbally.
The third pees all over the second.
The fourth makes love to the whisker's mother.
The fifth backs up into its own bottom and vanishes.
The sixth blade starts working a racial epithet in.
The seventh juggles like a mime.
The 8th through 14th blade sits and blows smoke at the other blades and laughs maniacally.
And just when you think it couldn't get any weirder, what happens next?
Well, an amazing, quiet, comfort razor. That's what you get from the Dollar Shave Club. Oh, these guys owe me.
Joe Coy for DraftKings.
DraftKings, baby. Fantasy football. Bri.
I drafted a terrible team. Many of my players let me down. However, I still have Carson Palmer going.
You think they know they let you down?
You know what they do
Sorry,
now?
They'll gather around, grab a knee. Brian
LaCouche.
With a Y. He's pretty upset.
Oh, man.
About our performance.
I knew it. Shit. He drafted me, huh?
Yeah, he drafted
Son
you.
Of a bitch. He's the guy with cancer.
He's got the tumor.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
I tried my best.
You understand,
man.
When he picked you up as a wideout,
Yeah.
He expected numbers.
Fuck me.
He expected production.
I just got his book, too.
He just got his ass kicked by one of his frat buddies in college.
Who
you understand?
Him? Who beat him?
Chet beat him.
I'll shoot him.
Okay, don't shoot him.
There's a guy that shot somebody for
proof. No, you need to catch more balls and rack up more yardage and see if you can score.
Son of a bitch.
All right, now listen.
Yeah.
If we could just form, I don't want to call it an apology letter,
but if you could
just sort of, you know, craft a little something.
Yeah.
Telling Brian you're sorry.
Yeah, man.
And that it's not going to happen again.
It's not going to happen again. You know
that.
Well,
no, I know that, but does Brian know it?
Week one is always.
You let him down.
Up. I know.
Okay, listen, I have a lot of excuses about week one.
He's got cancer.
The point is this.
Fuck.
If you just go ahead and craft a little something, I think that would go a long way.
Like craft, like actually make something out of materials and shit. Craft like cheese, macaroni, like.
You're thinking arts and crafts or cheesy craft.
What,
no.
What do you mean, Corolla?
What I mean?
The fuck do I get this guy?
You know, you write something. Do you have a computer?
Yeah, I have a computer.
Okay.
It's just loaded with porn.
Okay.
Brazzers? You want me to send him a Brazzers?
No, don't. Well, you can send him some porn.
Maybe I'll buy him a subscription.
No, well, if you could write down something, just something that says, you know, Brian, thinking of you, sorry for letting you down, going to try harder next time.
My bad. You know what I mean? Brian, my bad.
And then put your number.
I'll put my number.
Well, not your home number.
Oh.
Your jersey number.
Oh, yeah.
You put 88 there.
85.
Oh, 85.
Is it?
I think it's 88.
Oh, fuck, it is.
You put your number.
I'll put my telephone number.
Put the jersey number underneath where you signed.
Okay, yeah, I'll give him a whole jersey if he wants.
No, don't give him the jersey.
If that's what he wants, he can get it. Whatever Brian wants.
Just sign the jersey number.
No one else drafted me. Do you understand?
Oh,
no one else wanted me.
Brian believed in you.
Brian believed in me.
And now you've let him down.
And I let him down.
All right, so just sign a quick note.
I'll sign it. I'll say love, cancer.
No, you know what?
I don't know what this. What do I do?
Do you have a publicist I can speak
to? I have a publicist, yes.
Can I speak to him or her?
Yes, you can.
Okay, so let's do that. Let me handle this.
Okay, so you want to talk to her now or?
Well, I'll speak to her shortly.
Okay, yeah, thank God.
You focus on Sunday.
All right, thank God. I don't really know what a publicist is.
I'll get back to DraftKings. Right. Yeah. DraftKings.com.
And Pauly Shore for LifeLock.
LifeLock Ultimate Plus. It is the cost of doing business in 2014, children. Helps protect your identity, your bank, your retirement accounts, so credit cards. Yeah.
Can I ask you, so all these ads that you're doing right now, these are the people that pay for everything, correct?
That's what keeps the lights on around
here. Holy shit. How can I do this for my podcast?
Well, first off, you must keep your identity.
Okay.
Because we can't have someone else running around with a bunch of scarves claiming to be the Weast.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, I can hook you up with our friends over at LifeLock Ultimate Plus.
Cowbell.
That's right. Why risk it, baby? Sleep better at night knowing you got LifeLock Ultimate Plus. Hold on one second. Dawson, LifeLock.
LifeLock.com. Network does not cover all transactions.
Pauly Shore,
yes. Yeah, so just for that ad right there, how much did they pay you?
I have no idea.
But they paid you something.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I do it for free because I'm a fan of LifeLock Ultimate Plus.
I understand that. I know, because when I was at your house the other day, I saw that.
You saw the big picture. Yeah. You saw my shrine to LifeLock Ultimate Plus. He's like a newborn, isn't he?
Every day, yeah.
Every day is a new day.
Yep.
It's kind of, you know, when you tell people to live every day like it's a brand new day.
Some people listen.
They really do listen. And the winner is Mike Rowe. Love that guy. Speaking of live reads, by the way, Hulu. Who knew? I knew. Hulu Plus. Ah, winter break, traveling. Gotta go with the family, the friends. It's a sad testimonial, but when I hear about people and I go, what are you doing for the winter, you know, the holiday? What are you doing for Christmas? They're going, oh, I'm going to Chicago. I'm staying with my family for a week. I always go, oh, sorry, man. And they go, oh, no, I like my parents.
I love my family
and
I very go, much.
Yeah, it's got to be a tough break.
I look forward to it. This is actually a highlight of the year for
me. Tough draw. Yeah.
No, I really look forward to it. I mean, it's getting back with the loved ones. And
you can buy booze and heroin over there, right?
I suppose some could, but
yeah,
I'm going to be
let's booze it up. Turn the TV on.
You know what? Carols to my family.
You got those Beats headphones?
Yeah, for the plane.
Put those on.
No, they're for the airplane.
Put the Beats on and just start sucking off the Jack Daniels. You'll be fine. You know what? A week will pass. Like it's
in the blink of an eye, it'll be gone.
It'll be
like
being in prison for a week. It's no big deal. We've all done time. You're cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. No, just don't establish eye contact with mom. You'll be fine.
So Hulu Plus is what you need.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're moving on.
So many more categories.
Yeah, I know. Caller of the Year.
Ooh. The nominees for Caller of the Year are Cassius, the Canadian.
Cassius?
Hey, Adam, what's up?
16. Alberta, Canada, man.
Yeah, how's it going?
What's going on, Cassius?
I just had a quick question. I wanted to know if you had any advice for up-and-coming podcasters. I'm one of them. I'm looking at making a move from Alberta to L.A. in a couple years to pursue this podcasting thing. So do you have any advice for that?
Mm-hmm. I will play the part of you and the part of your dad in this scenario. Hey, Dad, I want to go to L.A. to pursue a career in gay porn. Knock yourself out. Hey, Dad, I want to go to L.A. and pursue a career in podcasting. No fucking way! Over my dead body. Hold on. Marge, get in here! Your crazy son has a crazy idea. Thank you. Hey, Cassius.
Thank you for the inspiring message, Jason.
Thank you.
Really touched my heart.
Alec Baldwin.
We have a caller on line one that says he's Alec Baldwin. Alec?
How are you, man? Long time no speak. How are you?
Good. It's Alec Baldwin. How are you, Alec?
Well, I have a question. I'm calling you. You're always good for this kind of thing. I've had the entire internet shoved up my ass the last few months. Is there anything I could take for that? What do you recommend for that?
Barium. And a huge pot of coffee to wash it down with. I know the internet is always trying to force things up your rectum, but what is the latest one, Alec?
I mean, it's not even worth going into, man. I mean, you know, in the end, who cares? I mean, do you care? Do you care what people... That's a good question. Do you care what they say about you on the internet?
You know what I do? I try to avoid the situation that's going to get me to care. So people tweet me things all day long saying so-and-so is talking shit about you. You've got to check it out. Don't click on that.
What I find is if you never engage in that again. Hold on one second.
Okay. I want to find out where Alex at with the business.
Well, I mean, we can all think of...
Did we call you at an inconvenient time, Alex?
My friends are still at the door.
Sorry.
If you never did those again,
yeah.
You're getting an insight into my life here right now. Dogs barking, babies crying. Quiet.
So crazy. Hey, Al, can I say this while you're figuring out your life over
while
there?
While I'm dog wrangling?
Yeah. I feel like you have the talent, and you're at that level where you don't need the business. The business needs you. You can go Daniel Day-Lewis if you want. You can play by your own terms. And there's a part of you that wants to enter the fray. Why enter the fray? Do what you want to do. Do it on your own terms. There's only a few guys who can do it. You happen to be one of them.
Well, I think that the thing for me is that all of it, since I got married again and I have a family, none of it really matters to me at all anymore. The only thing that matters to me is my family. I mean, if you literally said to me tomorrow that the way I could have a guarantee, I mean, these are all hypotheticals, they're all these silly constructs, but if you came to me tomorrow and said, the only path, the only door you could choose that would get you the best guarantee that you'd stay happy with your wife and your family was to host Jeopardy, I'd sign up to host Jeopardy for 20 years tomorrow.
Eric, the vampire steak salesman.
What are you selling, Eric?
Well, it's a vampire steak.
Where'd you get the vampire steak?
Well, actually, I made it.
I'm looking at it now. It looks like a paint stick stir that you put a sharp edge on and then painted with some white out and a Sharpie when you're high.
Well, honestly, no. It was a ladder that I took apart, and the ladder that I took apart, I was building a wall of weaponry, and in that wall of weaponry, I was thinking about the mythological weapons that I can kind of put together. So I thought about the werewolf steaks. I thought about, you know, a little bit of things that I looked up online, and then the vampire steak just fell in my lap pretty much, and then I did a little work, you know, and that was pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got three kids of my own. They're 7, 6, and 1.
Mm-hmm. Can I talk to the 7-year-old?
Yeah. Give me just a second.
A boy or a girl?
A girl.
Oh.
Eliza.
Oh. Let me talk to Elvira.
Eliza.
Close enough.
It is.
Who are you?
This is Adam Carolla. I'm world famous.
Hi.
Hi. Eliza?
Hey.
I want you to run. Run as fast as you can in any direction.
Go, run.
Brian, the fake Whitney Houston drug dealer.
Brian, how did this whole thing come about for you?
So I knew a lady who's like a producer for Playboy TV.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, hey, would you want to do this video interview thing where you play a drug dealer?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, go on. And and basically, it's all, whenever, like, so the first one I did was for Charlie Sheen.
Oh, you've done more than...
This is part of a suite.
Oh, this is like a whole, it's really ridiculous. Like, so whenever any celebrity has, like, a drug thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been Charlie Sheen's drug dealer, Lindsay Lohan's drug dealer, Whitney Houston's drug dealer, Whitney Houston's limo driver.
Oh.
And like, because I didn't think about any of these interviews before.
Wait a minute. This goddamn documentary had a limo driver in it, too. Now what am I to believe? Said he drove her to South Central to score crack.
Yeah, to score crack. That was me. I did a phone interview with
range.
Whoever.
And
oh my God! By the way, do you see how you should just never believe anything anymore? Any pushback from your parents or the community at large when they see you on one of these shows?
Well, I would say I told my dad about the first time I did it. He's like, "That's probably a dumb move. You shouldn't do that again."
Yeah, but to be fair to you, it's not like you're going to be running for office in a few short years, or it's going to come back to haunt you or something, right?
No, I've been naked on the internet for a few years, so it's not like a
right.
But wait, doing what?
Don't bury the lead.
I'm a semi professional porn star.
Hey,
good luck with that.
I do a lot of different stuff. I'm a I don't know. That's like I've acted in porn.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
you, it's all
you performed, Brian.
You're a jack off on all tits or something. However it works. Hey, I don't know if they do product placement in these porn movies, but could we work in a bottle of Mangria? I'm not saying fuck the chick with it.
He'd work in the bottle of Mangria.
Yeah, while it's open. But, no, I'm saying, could just have it on the nightstand or something, or take a hit off it and go, man, this stuff makes me super hard.
And Zach the Virgin.
Let's see, Zach's 16-year-old Zach from Santa Maria. Let's talk to Zach. Zach?
Yes?
Ooh, Zach, what's going on?
Nothing. I'm a big fan of the show. Big fan.
Zach.
Yes.
Are you a virgin?
I take it you're a virgin.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Shocking. All right.
I forgot about the giggling.
it's fun to listen to this stuff because I don't remember half of it.
Yeah,
I remember
absolutely.
Like same. Baldwin calling in, but I don't remember getting into all the whatever we got into with Baldwin.
Favorite episode of the year for a reason.
That's right. The winner is Brian the Fake Whitney Houston Drug Dealer.
Well deserved.
Yeah. Because that was entertaining and educational.
And that's just so weird that I was just randomly watching TV going, what's weird? Something's weird. Something's not right about this. And turned out there was something that was not right about it.
And he was a fan of the show.
Crazy. All right. Rant of the year. And this is the third participant. This is Shitty Neighbors.
The third nominee for Rant of the Year. Shitty Neighbors.
Can I just say this? I've had the douchey neighbors, too, and the ones that get up in your fucking grill, and the ones where you can't get away with anything, like where you go, well, let's just trim that branch that's hanging over into my yard, and then you say to your guys, do it on Wednesday at like 11 a.m. when this guy's at work because he's such a fucking, he's in everyone's grill, and sure enough, you're trimming the branch that's hanging into your yard, and the guy's coming around and knocking on your door. The very first thing with all these fucking douchebags is, why don't you have a fucking job?
Yeah, seriously.
God knows what's going on at my house because I'm fucking gone all day. You could be raping the shit out of my dog, making sweet love to my wife, and fucking raiding my booze cabinet all fucking day long because I'm not there. I am gone all fucking day, every day. If you want to trim a branch that's on my property and my tree that's hanging onto your property and you plan to do it at 11 in the morning on Wednesday, guess who's not going to be there to knock on your door with the snarky, excuse you, I'm gone, I'm working. The first thing that all these fucking assholes are is home all fucking day. It's like, I'm just sitting here Thursday on my sofa reading a book and I have to smell this person's right. What the fuck are you doing at home? Get the fuck to work, you lazy sack of shit. That's the first thing about all these fucking people. They never leave the fucking house. I can't be annoyed by my annoying neighbors. I'm not home. They're fucking home all the fucking time. You'd be annoyed, too, if you're just home monitoring everything all the fucking time. It's the first thing these fucking douchebags do. Just fucking kill yourselves, you assholes. Kill yourselves, you cunts. I hate them. I fucking hate them. They're just home all the fucking time. They're angry. They're pissed off. And then they want to know what's going on with your shit. And it's like, why are you home? And why? Why? What does this guy do? Fuck him. Fuck everyone.
It is true when people are like, hey, you know, you're refinishing your pool or you're sandblasting your house or something. And you're like, it's noon on Thursday. What? The bigger question is, why are you experiencing this? Like, yes. Why are you taking this in? I know it woke you up from your nap or you're trying to catch up on some reading and this sound of the whatever. But it's like, what are you doing? Why are you fucking monitoring home all day?
The guys who are doing it are working. Why are you not doing the
Everybody's
same?
At work all day. All right. Best interview. Next, I don't even know what that is.
The nominees for best interview are Joe Perry.
Steven Tyler sounds like a perfectionist.
Yeah, I mean, it can get from, I mean, he has this thing where he thinks that, you know, bumping into the, like physically, like actually bumping into somebody is cool. I don't know where he gets that from. I mean, there's a certain kind of like thing when you see a band, you know, like interact physically with each other. But but what he does is he comes up and he blindsides you. You know, I'm down there focusing on, you know, doing a solo. And you know, he's going to be doing something all the time. And so, you know, he'll come up from behind. And I've had to, you know, get in his face and say, Steven, you know, it really throws me off when I'm doing that. You know, at least let me see you coming. If you're gonna if you're gonna do that, you know, let me see you do it. And so, you know, there was one time this two tours ago, and I was standing on the edge of the stage, like really giving it up, and right in front of me is just blackness. You know, and I know there's like cameras down there and speaker cabinets and all this stuff, and also a barrier, and you know, and then there's the fans, and I'm right on the edge of the stage, blinded by the spotlights, and he comes up behind me, and I almost go into the audience, you know, and I saw red. And so when I finished the solo, because I've had, you know, I had this discussion since 1973.
That's why.
You know what I mean? So he was standing on the side of, you know, playing to the side of the people, because we have this ramp going down there. And there were a bunch of security guards in front of him. And I walked by and I hip checked him from behind.
Right.
And I said, you know, gave him a taste of his own medicine, because that's usually the stuff that he remembers, you know.
Right.
And I saw him teeter a little bit back and forth like that, and I'm going, is he going to go in? Is he not? Is he going to go in? And sure enough, over into the audience, and he was caught by the security guards. And you know, I went back. I didn't mean for him to go in, but I wasn't exactly unhappy that he did. You know, I reached down. He tried to pull me into the audience, you know, because he was pissed.
Sure.
But then I pulled him up, and then that was it. But you know, I didn't get any shots from behind after that.
David Cho.
And at this point, my career in art, like, it was going pretty good, and but I'd just gotten out of prison, and I had a lot of bills I had to pay, and
sure, you can run up a tab and join. Well, how long were you in prison for?
I was in there. I served 3 months out of a 7-year sentence in Japan, and I guess I don't like talking about that part now, because. Well, I want to
stop bringing it up.
Well, yeah. There's things in motion right now, but okay. So I get out of jail.
How do you do 3 months out of a 7-year prison? The same we in Japan as we are here.
I don't even know. My lawyer was like the worst lawyer I've ever had, and they just let me out. I couldn't believe it. So
how do the Japanese feel about Koreans?
It's like being, you know, an Arab in a Jew country, or it's like.
Not fans.
It's not. The thing that trumps everything in prison is talent, right? Mm-hmm. If you're in prison and, like, you're in Nazi Germany and, you know, you can sing or dance or tell a joke or draw. Or
you could do tattoos, right?
Yeah, I mean, anything to, like, take the boredom away, mm-hmm. then they forget your race, and then mm-hmm. and then you're a celebrity. Hey, draw me, and then, hey, draw.
Yeah, like the guys this, are yeah. racist, but they have their team, and their quarterback's black, and right. it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
This one's okay, or whatever
exactly.
it is. So that's what you did in Japan.
Right, and so when I got out, I didn't, like, give up, but I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm never going to make a good living doing art, because you don't become a fucking graffiti artist as a career. Like, that's right. just, like, I want to express myself in the spectrum of entertainment, right? You have TV, movie, video games, music, all this shit, and then at the very bottom is, like, books and art, right?
Yeah.
So,
right.
when you do a TV...
Well, but I feel you get a lot of respect with books and art if it's done right.
But that's all you get.
Like, yeah, you don't get money.
Yeah, like,
no.
like the top, the number one comic book artist in the world, like, you don't even know who that is, right?
No,
but like,
I'd kill myself if I knew who that
exactly.
was.
Exactly. So when you do movies, TV, it's like at the top of the right. list, right? There's the most censorship, right? You can't do this, you can't do that. So at the very bottom, like, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, because nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody cares, but you can express yourself freely. So I knew that, and I said, you know what? I get to say and do anything, express myself fully, not going to make a living doing this. So I said, I really don't, and I had worked every minimum wage job you can think of, mm-hmm. and I said, without continuing to keep going to jail, how can I make as much money as possible within the law and still have enough time to create art? So then I became a professional gambler, and so I made a great deal of money doing that, and then that sort of, the gambling almost fueled the art, because now I didn't have to sell my art anymore.
William Shatner.
I grew up very lonely.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up not knowing exactly who I was or what I did. When I went to school, we would have Valentine's Day. There would be Valentine's Day, and I was in public school.
Right.
And I was 10, 12, whatever. And people would send Valentine's cards to their friends in class.
Right.
I was so anxious that somebody send me a Valentine's card. I sent Valentine's cards to myself.
Mm.
And they were the only ones I got.
Because you didn't want people to see you sitting alone at your desk and not opening envelopes while they were opening envelopes?
I used to walk closely behind people. In those days, you walked to school. I was within 10, 12 blocks of the public school, so I found myself walking close as though I belonged to a group of people who were walking to school,
but now,
even though I was walking alone.
Why is that? And I can never figure out how this works. You're very good-looking. You're athletic-looking, at least. You probably excelled at sports. You're talented. You're funny. You're spontaneous. Why not just be the belle of the ball? Why feel that way about yourself?
You know, I look back at pictures of when I never wanted to look at myself when I was in Star Trek. And at the time when youth and energy and quality are showing in your face.
Right.
So that what passes for good looks is happening then.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at pictures and wow, I was good looking. But I never knew it.
Joe Rogan.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. Your parents shouldn't have had any kids.
It's a terrible idea. Yeah, I haven't spoken to my dad since I was 7.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his name is Joe Rogan. I don't even know him. He lives in somewhere in New Jersey. Yeah, my parents broke up when I was 5 years old. I haven't seen him since I was 6.
Joe Rogan, who must get stopped a lot, and go, Joe Rogan, hey, you're not related to Joe Rogan, are you?
He has daughters that contacted me a long time ago, and they wanted to go on the radio with me once. And I was like, nope, no thank you. I don't want to get involved in
that. Is dad still alive?
I don't know.
What do you think your posture would be if tomorrow the phone rang and it was Joe Rogan Sr. saying,
how'd you get my number, bitch?
And what if he said, hey, all I can tell you is I'm sorry and I want to be a part of your life?
No, it doesn't work that way.
What could he do to
not, I'm not interested. I have a lot of people I already know in my life. At a certain point in time, I'm not. The worst that could come out of it is not worth risking it. The worst that could come out of it is I have this nutty fucking person in my life who used to beat my mom up, and he wants to say sorry because he's facing the grave. He's staring at the yawning abyss, and he wants to like clean up the problems. Like, you don't get to clean up every problem.
Well, I had I try to tell this to people because they'll do. People will go like, "But he's your dad."
That's
like,
all
and
nonsense.
It's like, no, he's not.
Your friends are, in my opinion, the most important aspect of your life, and your family.
Right.
Because you can't pick your parents. You can't pick your crazy uncle
that
keeps wanting
Diaz
to fucking come over your house and drink.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, Uncle Bob, you're a douchebag, okay? No, you're not welcome in my house. Get out of here. You're a crazy person that I have DNA that's connected to. So you choose who do you let in and don't let in your life outside of your family. At a certain point in time, you have to recognize that it's your own problem if you let obvious problems into your life. Like, you've decided to allow this. What's the best that could come out of it? I make an old guy feel good before he dies. Terrific.
Correct.
If you're out there, good luck, buddy. Have a nice life. I don't know you, but thanks for knocking my mom up. I'm enjoying life.
And I'm with you. I'm with you in that he doesn't deserve to be forgiven.
It's not even a deserve thing. I'm not interested. It's not. I don't make a judgment as far as like I want to punish him, or it's like I'm not interested in complicating my life any further. I'm busy enough. If I take 5 minutes with this guy and it's 5 minutes away from me talking to my kids, fuck him.
And Tracy Morgan.
Home, and he went AWOL and made me. Let's see, my brother's 2 years older than me, so I want to say maybe 67. I was born in 68. He did some time. I don't know how much time he did, but he was there for a while.
And your father died of AIDS?
Yeah, 1987, yeah.
Jesus.
He went
Christ
over there. You got to understand, man. He was drafted at 17, man. Them young boys over there, a lot of them picked up them bad habits just to get through the night. You over there, 17. I got three sons. Listen, my oldest son is 30. I watched all of them when they turned 17. My youngest son is 22, okay? And I couldn't imagine me sending my son over there at 17 years old.
So your dad goes to Vietnam.
17, man.
At 17.
Yeah, and that's how I got my name Tracy. Because on the way there, he met this young Irish dude. They were both scared dudes. The boy's name was Tracy. 3 days after they got there, he stepped on something and was blown to pieces.
Tracy was?
That's how my father named me Tracy Morgan.
Jesus Christ. And then died at 39.
39. I was 19. I lost my father twice. When he came home, my mom's had four kids. She had to kick him to the curb because he was shooting dope.
Wow.
And then when I got up with him, he was diagnosed. So I lost him twice. You know, the hardest times of my life are way behind me, man.
I love how insanely pragmatic Joe Rogan is. Don't you just love that? Just purely whatever makes sense. That's his entire life. And I told you guys I called Tracy Morgan, right?
We just heard
it. Yes.
Yeah. No, I told you.
Yeah, like semi-recently, right?
Yeah, it was crazy. He was crying on the phone, and it was like a crazy moment.
What's crazy is in that clip, he says, the toughest times are definitely behind me, or something to that effect.
Yes, then he gets into a horrific car accident. But if you think about it, I don't know what could be more horrific than what he already experienced. All right, the winner is Joe Rogan, everybody. Now, here's a category. I don't even know what we're playing. I haven't heard any of this stuff, although I was there when it went down originally. Previously...
Oh, this is in a ceremony. Previously, these awards were awarded.
Oh, I see. This
the Schmace Awards.
You know, what's her name? Julia Louis-Dreyfus hosted these.
She hosted these. Previously awarded, yes.
In a private ceremony held earlier... Daytime Ace Awards were given out in the following categories. Best Reality Show.
The mayor of Seattle this week pardoned a tofurkey.
You guys are so good.
I shit you not. That is a thing that actually happened in the city of Seattle this week.
All the poor writers at The Onion are going, why didn't we think of that shit? Jesus Christ.
That is an absolutely real thing.
I've just thought of my new late night show. It's called Holy Shit, with John Wayne's drunken corpse.
Sounds like a cable show.
Oh, no, this is Network.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just reanimate John Wayne. I get him drunk, ironically, on Wild Turkey.
Okay.
And I just explain to him what's going on in 2014. And he goes, holy shit, the mayor of Seattle. And he'd go like, oh, yeah, that's a good guy. We used to chase skirts and go drinking. No, no, another mayor, new mayor. That guy's gone. There's something called Tofurkey.
Hold on, homo.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could call the show Hold on, Homo.
Best sitcom.
What about Pubes for Merkins?
You know, you hear so much about Merkins, and it's I feel like it's a rite of passage as a young person when you discover what a Merkin is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of Merkin humor.
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone ever seen a Merkin? Where are the Merkins?
I would like to. Good name for a four-camera sitcom coming this fall. Where are the Merkins? Whole family with huge, bushy pubes.
Right.
And everyone has to pretend like they don't really see it.
Bulges in the front of their pants.
And every episode is like, the big beach volleyball tournament's coming up. Don't tell the Merkins! Oh, here he comes!
You remember last year.
Oh, no!
Harry Merkin is the dad.
That's right. Oh, that's right.
Nappy Merkin is the grandma.
Blondie Merkin is the youngest daughter. Yeah.
The son is Buzz Merkin.
Buzz Merkin.
Best public service announcement.
One time I got high on mushrooms and I wasn't feeling anything, but I was with a chick who was kind of freaking out, and I was riding a motorcycle at the time, and I was like, you know what?
You're riding a motorcycle on mushrooms.
Yeah. And
you're
an idiot.
You're an idiot.
I was an idiot.
Are you kidding me?
Hey.
You're not dead?
Not yet.
You should be dead.
He might be.
I wasn't.
One of my smartest friends, and I just found out you're the biggest idiot out of all my friends.
I wasn't getting off on the mushrooms like I should have.
Just shit melting around you while you drive on your motorcycle.
Wasn't happening. Like, I could feel myself. I was high, but I wasn't that. I should have a PSA,
visuals.
Or at least when it comes time to get the kids their learner's permit, I should really sit down and go, now, kids, just because your dad rode a Honda 404 when he was eating a psilocybic mushrooms, psilocybin, whatever, look, point is, by the way, don't use nutty peanut butter when you eat them. Use smooth, because you'll be chewing
too much. Please stay on the script, Mr. Carolla.
Huh?
Please stay on the script.
Oh. Drinking and driving is no joke. And neither is eating mushrooms and riding a motorcycle. So let me scat a little, if you don't mind. This bitch was freaking out on me. So I was like, I'm getting on my motorcycle and going to another one of my friend's house who's not high on mushrooms. And, you know, I wouldn't say it was raining. It was just a light drizzle. And I was wearing a helmet, not full face. And either way, it wasn't a very long ride to my other friend's house.
I think we got enough for this particular PSA. I think we got enough.
I'd like to add a little more.
We'll keep going. We'll just turn the lights out.
Yeah.
Best morning show.
Spunk and Vomit, lady.
Spunk and Vomit sound like a morning team. Hey, it's 8:33. It's 27 away from the top of the hour. We got news, traffic, and weather coming up top of the hour. Spunk and Vomit over here. Vomit. Hold on, I got it. Oh, yeah. Woo, hey, let's talk while I'm in my refractory period. What's going on out there? We got mattress and lanes on the 405. Look out for brake lights on the 110. It's slow and go. Let's check in with the temperatures around the Southland. Whittier checking in, 73 degrees. Encino, 73. Van Nuys, 73.
Make me
Irwindale, 73 degrees. Don't puke again. Oh, this just in, Pasadena and Arlena, 73 degrees. Mission Viejo, 73 degrees. I misread that. Also, Canoga Park, Lancaster, Newhall, Saugus area, checking in, 73 degrees, 73 Santa Monica, 73 on Mars, 73 in your asshole, 73 100 years from now, 73 if you build a time machine and go back to the Jurassic period of time or the Bronze Age, 73 degrees.
Oh, Jesus.
best airline food review.
You tell me if you've ever had on the ground a leek omelet. Leeks!
Nope.
I didn't even know what a fucking leek was. I want to take a fucking leek on the menu. Leeks and Fontina cheese. Leeks and Fontina. I'm just sitting there going, does anyone ever, has anyone eaten an omelet? But where's the leeks? Where's the leeks?
And best reality host.
But I'm really looking to kind of step it up and turn it into a legitimate source of income.
Yeah.
And
what do you think this is, fucking Shark Tank? What the fuck do we know about soap? I wash my hands with you. You out?
Yeah, I'm out.
I'll give you nothing for half the company.
I'll not sodomize you for 50% of the company.
I should offer that.
It would be great, just the one drunken, super rich guy who sat in the middle and shouted out insults.
I have a line of beef jerky that I'm looking to expand into the Midwest.
Yeah? Let me have a bite of that.
Yeah, here you go. Try it. It's delicious.
This tastes like bad pussy. This tastes like Marilyn Monroe's pussy 4 years after she was buried. Get this shit. As a matter of fact, I need another fucking hit of Johnny Walker in order to get this fucking taste out of my mouth. This tastes like zombie cock. Here's your offer. I don't beat the shit out of you on camera. That's
so
it.
The alternative.
That's as far as I go.
So no matter what, I'm going
to
beat up.
I will not put your glasses up your rectum.
Okay.
That is my promise to you. That's as far as I go.
You drive a hard bargain.
I want 90% of your company and 100% of your wife. All right. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have many more categories to go. Outstanding achievement on shitting on a point. Rant of the year, part four. Oh, patent trolls. Friends of the show, Joe Coy, and many, many more right after this.
The Man versus Mangria Award for Outstanding Achievement in Inebriation goes to Howie Mandel.
I am medicated. I do see psychiatrists, but my medication seems to really coexist well with Mangria.
Adam, how he seemed sober when he showed up.
He was. I was.
He was. Which, by the way, was like 7 minutes ago.
I don't know where the fuck I am now.
Next question from Thomas of San Francisco.
What a weird name that is.
Hot girls
I am Thomas of San Francisco.
I'll let him ask.
I'm Howard of Canada.
Tom. How he gets combative when he gets drunk.
Don't what? You think that somebody who calls himself Thomas of San Francisco is full of themselves? You're fucking Tom. You are Tom. I don't give a shit. I am Thomas of San Francisco.
Do one more, and then Howie can go throw up in the boot of his car.
Is that your way to say goodbye to me?
I know your wife's pissed off somewhere.
She is.
Wherever she is, she's
my
pissed.
My wife is in the room, pissed
and she's
off.
Pissed.
But she didn't know. She had no idea that I would be performing in front of Thomas of San Francisco.
No.
I'm so fucked up. I don't give a shit what you think about what I'm saying. I am enjoying me. And that's the beauty of Mangria.
Wow. Love Howie Mandel.
You earned that one.
Oh, God. That guy's fun. And again, just walked into the green room. By the way, Dawson, he sounds just like you.
Does he?
He poked his head in the door at like 9:03, and the show was going to start at 9:15, and he went, "Hey!" And I said, "Oh, that's Dawson." So I didn't turn around.
It's ignored.
And then I heard, "Hey!" Once again. Wait, say "Hey, Dawson."
"Hey."
Yeah, I just thought, well, everyone else is in the room, so if someone's poking their head in the door and yelling, "Hey," it must be Dawson. So I didn't really
turn
around.
If you'd heard a female voice, would you have also thought it must be Dawson?
You know, I'm really good at Mangria, too, so maybe we could do a sober and a drunk test.
I just did a math where it's like, who is poking their head into the green room going, "Hey," you know? So
certainly
I thought it was
Howie Mandel.
Dawson trying to get hold of Max Zapata, tell him to go downstairs or something, and then eventually I turned around and it was Howie Mandel. All right, outstanding achievement in shitting on a point or story is next.
The nominees for outstanding achievement in shitting on a point or story are Ray Oldhofer,
You've got to run all the way around the ring.
No, you have to go touch the end. That was the deal. And then run back.
Thank you for making the story 20% shittier. I appreciate it, Ray. Anyway, yes. No, you're right, Ray. You don't run all the way around the ring. You just go straight all the way to the end
this
and turn around
everything.
And come back. Yeah, it makes it 20% less interesting.
Oh, go Thank ahead, you. Adam.
Thanks, Dick. Oh, don't now, you have a Groundlings class coming up? Yeah, you got to go from one end to the other. Sorry for saying you have to run around it. Why do you got to do that, Ray? What's your fucking impulse? Why?
I'm just trying to add to the story.
You're not adding to it. You're making it shitty. You're making it shittier. You're making it less.
Brian Bishop.
That's a lot of fucking room for cream.
Wait. Mm. I promise you, the cream, the milk, the half and half, costs them a lot more than the coffee. So they're actually losing money on that.
Ah, valid point.
Their coffee is pennies.
Listen to me. Listen what I'm saying.
That makes sense, dude.
Listen. You have enough room for cream the way they do it. That's my initial
more cream
thing.
When they do
it. No, I think you use the amount of cream that you want. Well, don't you use the amount of cream you want?
Well, why would you ask for cream? Why would you ask for room? If you're
does anyone?
Because you want a little.
Why
buffer
do you feel
like
I'm talking to a retarded trash can?
Ray Oldhoffer.
I walked through my first apartment with my landlord, and he looked at me and he said, it was a one bedroom that we had three dudes living in for like 4 years. And
with the animals and the race cars?
Different, yeah. Now,
four years, and by the way, left in good shape, not in horrific shape. You guys didn't kill the place.
Thanks, Ray.
Oh, did I fuck up in another one of your stories?
Gee, I'm sorry.
The landlord remarked on how clean it was?
Good enough. There you go. That's what he said. No. Thanks, Ray.
Brian Bishop.
I was in the back of the first class, and I looked down at the menu, and I saw the wasabi-crusted salmon topped with a sweet papaya, pineapple, marmalade, and pureed. I don't even know what that word is.
Daffinois
potatoes. I looked at that and went, it's like, all right, can we stop jacking off on the food here, people? Mm-hmm. And then I looked under it and it said classic cheese lasagna. And I was like, anything that's got the word classic in it, I'm fucking down with. Because last time I got a pizza, it had fucking goat cheese on it on this goddamn flight. And carob shavings on it or something. I want something. So I looked down, classic cheese lasagna, I'm in.
Am I the only one that thinks the salmon looks really good? What's wrong with the salmon? That sounds delicious.
Anyway, yes, it looks good to you.
Yeah. What's wrong with it?
Nothing.
Okay.
All right.
Why'd you... I'm sorry.
All right. It's good. We should all get it.
Why should we not get it?
Because I'm going a direction, Brian.
Okay.
Do you not feel the direction?
No, I do. I guess should we all just get out of your way when you talk about food, or should we have a conversation?
No, you don't have to blindly agree with me.
Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry, man.
All right.
Have a conversation.
Okay, no, it looks... I think we should all get the salmon.
And Mike Dawson.
Everyone I know loves pineapple upside down cake. Let's do a quick
we'll do a pot pie.
Dawson.
Yeah, boss.
Do you like pineapple upside down cake?
No, I do not.
All right, moving on.
Yeah, but still.
I knew he wouldn't. Let's find out here, Dawson. Other than you, who enjoys pineapple upside down cake? Now, I know Gary enjoys it quite a bit because he did it. I enjoy it quite a bit. Brian?
It's very good. Not in my top five desserts, but very good.
Very good.
Yeah, I like it. I don't come across it very often.
All right. Joe?
Only eat it when it's around. I love it every time.
Okay. All right. Fondelier. Is everyone sitting down?
Fondelier has two
enjoys
thumbs up.
Enjoys it. Yeah. All right.
Two thumbs up. That means he really likes it. He even eats the fake cherry in the middle.
So, I think out of, I don't know, eight or nine people here, let's just say out of 8 people, 7 people like it very much.
Sounds about right.
Now, when is the last time any of us have eaten a piece of pineapple upside down cake? And I think the over under is 7 years.
Last year.
Fucking Dawson.
Just don't want to let you down, boss.
That's right. That's right. You don't normally I don't kick the shit on a story that's coming in and leaving. You know what I mean? But that was a rare experience. Wow. Wow. The winner is Dawson, everybody, with the pineapple upside down cake. So he hates pineapple upside down cake, but he's had it in the last recently. Calendar year.
My mom makes it every year around Easter time.
Wow. What is... And
according to everyone who loves it, she makes a fucking great pineapple upside down cake. I don't like fruit on dessert. I don't know. I don't
okay.
know.
Okay. So all pies are out? Do you like pineapple?
I love pineapple.
Now I don't know where
this
to go.
Is why we love now Dawson. I don't know where this is why go. Everyone loves Dawson, right? Because the number one answer for why I don't like pineapple upside like down pineapple. Cake is I just don't care for pineapple. And then you have no move after that. Once they say I don't care for pineapple.
Do you like pineapple right side up cake?
Yeah. There's no, well.
It's the geometry of the thing.
Yeah. Like once someone says I don't like pineapple or my father was killed by a Samoan or something like that, you just have to move on. But when they go, I love pineapple. Now we have difficulty.
Yeah.
Because
it's just a sticky, moist cake at that point with pineapple.
Dessert for me should not have fruit in it. I'm a chocolate dessert guy.
I'm weird.
Like pies. So all pies are out?
No, not all pies are out, but that's never, ever one of my first. Huh.
All right, but hold on. What's up with everyone with the rules? Like where they go, I like nuts, I like dessert. But I will not tolerate nuts on my dessert. Like
you like cheese, Adam?
Yeah, I like cheese.
You like goat cheese on your pizza?
Goat cheese is not cheese. It's liquid goat. It tastes like goat.
What's that one of these rules?
There's one rule. There's one cheese where you can tell what animal it came from, and that's a fucking goat. Like where you smell it and you go, that smells like a goat, and that's why I don't want it on my fucking pizza.
Should be universal.
Well. The whole thing with pizza is pizza existed for 1,000 years with no goats. Mm. It's fine without it. Just make the best fucking pizza you can make. Pineapple upside down. You love pineapple, Dawson.
Yes.
That's the beauty, Dawson. All right, that's enough. Rant of the year. This is our fourth installment.
Our fourth nominee for Rant of the Year. Patent trolls.
As the great Refrigerator Perry once said to me, when we're fishing, you done worked your way back up to a zero after I caught a fish. He was serious.
Wise words.
Right. I can beg for money, make a couple of trips back and forth to Texas, have a couple conference calls, be included on a string of emails, and basically suck up, 9 months of my life, a year of my life, to do what? Work my way up to zero? To get back to zero? Spend thousands of dollars, make tons of phone calls, emails, time's chewed up. I mean, it's all just time. It's like, all right, you got a window. Your window's got another 20, 25 years to do this shit. Who wants to say this amount of it was spent circling the block of life looking for a parking space? And then how good a mood are you supposed to be in when you finally find the parking space after circling the block a baker's dozen times? You know what I'm saying? So the patent troll thing would be awesome, but it's one of those things. It's like beating a ticket. You lose, you owe the city of Burbank $368. You win, you just gave away 2 days of your life. To win, nothing. You're winning is not giving money to people that are trying to steal money from you. The fuck is going on? And then the question is, how much of our fucking life do we want to give away? Okay, Jesus fucking Christ, can we get on with things? And I know we live an extra 7 years, but it's not an extra 70 years. Well, where's all the bullshit coming from? How much fucking time I have into this fucking patent troll bullshit already? People could just fucking hijack your life. And they know it. They go, you don't want your life hijacked? Give us $3 million. We'll go away. By the way, so what? Now that makes it okay? You're not a victim anymore? Society is definitely going into the fucking toilet.
You know these are the best rants of the year, because as they play, Adam gets fired up.
Yeah.
The facial expression.
Fresh and angry. All right. Let's put a smile on my face. Best friend of the show. Ooh. Part two.
Nominee number two.
Mm-hmm.
Our second nominee for best friend of the show, Joe Coy.
Bungler?
Yes. Yes, Corolla.
Corolla. Mm-hmm. It's a children's show. The song is missing a little something.
Yeah.
A little je ne sais quoi.
Sex.
No.
Je ne sais quoi.
No, it's just a little something.
Little naked women.
No, it's just missing something.
I have a je ne sais quoi one time in Vietnam.
No.
Two girl, one guy.
Oh, you're thinking of menage.
Ah, yeah.
Menage a trois.
Je ne sais quoi.
No, menage a trois.
That's one word I know for sure. Je ne sais quoi.
Okay, all right. Anyway.
Two girl, one guy.
Yeah, sometimes there's two guys.
Not so much like.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, kind of boring. Too much.
Anyway, we
probably... Too cock too much.
Yeah, that's one too many.
Yeah, no life.
Yeah.
Zoom, zoom. Too cock. Too much. Too cock. Too much. Oh, yeah. Shoot.
This is taking a turn.
I mean, his version is undeniably catchy. I just don't think it's right.
Yeah, but shooting it into the
single
eye and all that stuff.
That's what I'm saying.
Single come out next month.
No.
Just like that.
Bungalow. I want to zoom, zoom. I want to zoom, 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 zoom. Yeah.
Don't say that part.
Yeah, just do the zoom part. I want to zoom.
Let's harmonize.
Who?
You go low, I go high. Harmonize.
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 You go, start from top. I go with you.
I want to zoom. I want to zoom, zoom. I want to zoom, 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 zoom. I'm not saying that part.
It sounds so good.
What the fuck am I supposed to do? I am sugar.
No, you're brown sugar. And I'm going to take over the pineapple.
Sugar is sugar.
Obviously, there's just little
my
differences.
Dick is bigger than the other sugars.
Ah, again, that's the problem.
Sweet and Low don't even have a dick.
You talk a lot about
little pink bag.
You want people to integrate you into their forms of confection. You never stop talking about your cup. What?
White sugar got a little dick and good credit. That's it.
Yeah, that's right.
Brown sugar got a big dick. Yeah. And a lot of loans. A lot of unpaid loans, motherfucker.
That's what
I'll pay. I'll get to it. If you get me in the pantry so I can work with the other motherfucking baking goods.
Right.
I can pay off these motherfucking loans.
Right. But all the dick talk is
go
not
go see
gonna,
my kids.
All the dick talk.
How many kids I got?
I've seen the sack of Toll House morsels.
There's a bag of raisins in the pantries that I know.
The point is this.
Got my eyes.
What I'm asking is this. It's this dick talk that prevents you from getting into the pantry.
Dick talk is real talk, motherfucker.
But you never stop talking about your dick. You never stop using profanity.
You never recognize me for my dick. Where's Aunt Jemima at?
She got put in the pantry as well, initially just to help. Now she's there full time. The point is this. We would like to help you get into the pantry, but it's all the dick talk.
How do I get into the pantry, motherfucker?
Stop talking about your penis.
It's not a penis, motherfucker.
Stop talking about your cock.
It's a dick.
Oh, your dick, sorry.
It's a big, black, brown dick.
All right, and stop with the profanity. Okay?
Fuck you.
He is said to have knocked out a woman and a horse, each with one punch.
On Tuesday, I knock out a horse. On Wednesday, I knock out a woman. On Friday, it's you, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Listen, Roberto.
I'm there to die.
Listen.
I knock out a woman.
Well, yeah, I know, Roberto.
Yeah. Train all you want, Sugar Ray.
You're hitting women.
But I knock out a woman.
I'm working on a speed bag.
With one punch.
I'm working on a double-ended bag, not a woman.
I have a woman. Lines of women. I knock out with one punch in a row.
I don't feel like that's good.
Hey! Shut up, woman!
Yeah. First off, I can see that being a super expensive training camp.
I knock out women and I knock out a horse.
How about
we
you,
don't want.
How about you get like a welterweight training partner instead? You know, a guy with some fights under his belt
have
and
you
train
seen
with
the
him.
The size of this woman, 120 pounds.
I fight orthodox.
A pure woman, and I knock her out.
Yeah,
with a 1 pound.
I know your hands are stone, but maybe yeah. Don't punch
Hi.
Women. Hold on,
mijo.
Oh yeah, Roberto, that's my mom. There's my sister, my grandmother from the train.
I knock out another woman.
Do you understand?
I want everyone to know this. The day of the fight, yeah. Any woman that's sitting in the audience, I'm going to knock them out.
What about horses? What about horses?
They're okay.
Oh,
but
really?
One of them I will knock out.
All right, the great Roberto Duran. Hands of stone.
He really is mean.
Joe Coy, everybody. Wow. It's going to be tough.
Right?
Joe Coy and Dag. Jay Moore's coming up. Now, live musical performance.
The nominees for Best Live Musical Performance are Adam and Lisa Lampanelli for Young Girl.
Beneath your pigtails and makeup.
Pigtails? Your Lolita.
You're just a baby.
Diapers.
And though you knew
I like this part.
Wrong to be.
This is the greatest line, right?
With me, that come on look is in your eyes. Young girl, get out of the van. I'm just an old dude with a tan. But come, girl, you better be talking.
An old dude with a tan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, please, no more. Help.
Well,
no
Gary Puckett will be missed.
Adam and Chris Jericho for Undone.
It was too late. She's come undone. When she found out she couldn't fly. Mama, it was too late. It's too late. She's gone too far.
All right, everyone take a breath.
Cruel, ladies and gentlemen.
She's come
The show has reached a new low.
Wow, you guys. It's a real super group.
We got nominated.
And Kelly James for Drunk Fish.
Allison, since we cut off your segment, what's the next story? And we'll sing about that.
Okay. Then
this is what we gotta love because he has no idea what the next story is.
It's about drunk fish.
Drunk fish. Okay.
I keep on drinking. You know I never quit. I wanna get as drunk as that fish. You can follow me cause I'm making bold moves. Chilling with Ace, you know how he do. Shots of Patron or whatever that was. He had 12 beers backstage, he's buzzed. I know how he does, I freestyle spit. He's up here running around drunk as a fish. Ace is the man, but yeah, you know, he could do this stuff drunk or sober. He could do it in his sleep or every single week. He doesn't even need a crowd, he could do it for you and me. Well, Allison, you see, I apologize that we cut off your whole segment, but honestly, you made me freestyle about a drunk fish and some scientific experiment. I don't really know what they were trying to get out of it, but some people do weird things in science, and I'm like, who the hell funded that project, and who was lying? They probably spent $3 million of our money, taxpayers' money. Ace, we know that ain't funny, but it's okay though. What more can I say? Guaranteed they did that experiment in California. Hey, we got so much money, and this dude's bent. He's like, that's where the fuck went my 10% state tax to do experimented on fish. And now they going, ooh, they want to do another riff and see if dogs or cats or mooses will follow themselves if they get goosed up and do it. You know how they go when scientists want to get crazy, and that's how they roll. And I'm like, okay, maybe Maybe that's how they roll. We gonna get fishes stoned and see what they do, though. We'll spend $10 million to infuse water with weed. They're like, oh my god, we got this THC that will float around the pool and the fish keep eating it up. But that's how they do. We don't need no more cups of booze. Let's get another $15 million to test. And they like the fish. They seem less stressed. No fucking shit, cause that's what weed does. Honestly, who cares if the fucking fish are buzzed? And that's how we do it. You probably went and killed them, but who cares about that? It's for our children. Spend taxpayers' money doing dumb tests. And honestly, we know whatever the fish weren't stressed. But that's all I gotta say. That's what we do. So make some noise for Adam and these amazing tunes.
Oh, yeah!
Thank you.
Kelly James, by the way. Kelly James. All right. The winner is... What? Kelly James.
Did not see that coming.
He freestyled his way to the title.
Mm, such a talent. And when you see it in real time, it's that much more impressive. All right. Now we move on to Song of the Year.
The nominees for Song of the Year are... Rich Banks and Mike Lynch.
All right. Sometimes when I'm on stage at night and I'm up here sweating my ass off, playing my songs, think about my lady. She's at home, just sitting there, man, eating sushi, watching them Beverly Hills wives. And what I wish while I'm up here, she was at home running in place. You know, maybe give me 10 push-ups. That's fair. Maybe she can maybe cook up a pot roast. 1, 2, 3, hook! My stomach's empty. I'm getting hungry. Been on the road now. When I get home, cook for me. Cook for me.
Ray. It's just a thank you song for having me on the podcast.
Wow.
Is it an original composition? Is this a parody?
Oh, yeah. Wrote the music, wrote the lyrics, sang the tune.
Well, enjoyed, everybody.
Once upon a time, before whoring was a crime, you could feel a pair of tits or boobies for a dime. 50 years later, he was born in L.A., Adam Carolla with a hammer and a gay haircut. But little did we know how his radio career would help his podcast grow. He's got books and shirts. He's honest till it hurts. And even though he looks Jewish, he's not Jewish. Hey Ace, it's good to be back. I hope that you let me play the whole track, cause your podcast is the best in the world. But you know that it is, cause it's dope, cause you've got so many downloads. Allison, Dawson, August, Gary and Brian, I ain't lying. Can somebody hook me up with some free mangria? Macho Man, you're popular in bars. You're rolling unicycle on Dancing with the Stars. I'd give you a kidney. I'd rather ride a moped than be seen in it. All of your rides are collectibles. Oh, I bet your Lamborghini don't have cashews stuck in the seatbelt. You've got so many shows and so much to do. You co-hosted Loveline with Dr. Drew, where people call in and
can you listen to why their jizz is the same color as spaghetti? Oh, is that gross? Check it. What? Thanks for having me on your podcast. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Thanks for having me. Can I buy a car? Can I buy a car? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Rich Banks.
I've been quiet for so many years, and now I've got to blow. I was the neighbor of both Ruby and Billy for 5 years or so. Well, Ruby's short for Reuben, and those songs aren't really true. Goes Ruby. Yeah, Ruby was a dude. There was a crazy martial artist, went by the name Asian War. He was anti-gay and crippled, poor Billy the year before. Yes, it's true, Billy's numb in his lower extremities. Now he's going down on me. I could hear Billy scream, "Don't go to town," through those paneled walls. Town was the nickname Ruby gave my cock and balls. I used to see him through my window wheeling that chair around. While Ruby was taking his love to town. Oh, Ruby, it's your turn, turn around.
Wow.
Rich Banks and Mike Lynch.
Gary's flying, he's in a park, long, long way from home. Beating his meat on a big old jet plane with an iPad full of porn. His dick's a handheld device to be stored away, but he won't stop until he's done. Jerking himself at a mile high, he's just having some first class fun on that big old jet airliner. Please don't pull that blanket away on that big old jet airliner, 'cause Gary just made penis parfait.
And Rich Banks.
When this girl lays down in bed, David Allen Green is in her head. Poor Daniel lays there sawing logs as she starts to drift off. Drift off. She likes the guys who sing, the guys who dance. Her dad gave her advice on romance. He told her, no Latins, mandingos, or Negroes. But what she dreams of all night long, big black dong.
Big black.
Big black.
Big black.
Big black dong.
Big black.
Big black.
Big black,
big black,
big black,
oh,
big black,
don't know.
Stacked category.
Woo! I mean, you got to give love to Rich Banks, but Adam Ray.
With the wholly original composition.
Right. Love that
guy. A lot
of
styles in that song, too.
Yeah. All right. The winner is Rich Banks and Mike Lynch in Jackin' on a Air. Ah, Jetliner. Ah. They're all good. Everyone's a winner in this category. All right. Another part two of Previously Awarded.
At the Technical and Creative Arts Aces, held earlier this year, awards were given out in the following categories. Worst Impression.
So Bill Cosby did a lot of, like, you know, his first show with Quincy Jones doing the hiccup, Barry Gibson, some roads and some breeze of mine. Ha, ha, ha. Da, 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 da. He got no rig and butt. Da, 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 da. Oh, Lord. Gonna get some braggots and some roads and some breeze of mine.
Adam Ray for Best Drunk Best Friend.
Oh, Allison, you give me the wants to go out and doesn't want to go out. We'll okay. figure it out.
And I'll be the drunk, slutty best friend of Allison in the corner who's trying to cock block and get her to go.
Yeah.
No, hi, who are you? Are you?
Yeah. I'm just, I haven't met you. Hi, I'm Adam.
Yeah, well, you're going to meet me at some point because I'm Allison. Nelson's best friend. So I'm going to go. Hey, I'm going to leave you to do whatever. Yeah. And I'm going to go get more food.
All right. You, thanks, you load Tanya. Up at the buffet, Tanya. Hey.
Hi.
I had to hear it. Book of Mormon, man.
I've been wanting to see that.
It's been out
it's
for
so
like,
hard
it's,
to get
it's
tickets,
like 4 years and I haven't even seen it. And
everyone I've heard it's so good.
Everyone to see is like, it's awesome. I totally want to see that.
That says, I relate to that so much. I was just saying to Tanya. You met Tanya. I was just saying to Tanya how much I want to go.
Oh, she's yakking in the seven-layer dip.
She does that. She does that.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I found my purse.
Now it's eight-layer dip.
Best Interruption.
This yeah. is a great song.
Oh.
It kicks in.
Oh, here it comes. A lot of broken Streets of Dreams and shit back then. Yeah.
Song. You know what's awesome about this song?
You not talking. You're not in it. All right, I'm fucking with you. Come on. Come on, Dawson. It's my
no,
job.
That was good. I got to no, respect that.
It's my job. It's my job.
So that
job.
Was that was good.
All right,
I'm giving that to you.
My you job,
that one.
Best drop by a female caller.
Paula.
Best drop by a male caller.
Yes.
The special award for LGBT awareness.
Yeah.
It would be more gay to want to fuck a dude in his ass. Than
you're
want
saying that'd
something
be more
in your ass. Because you have
all right,
a prostate.
Hold on.
Like, scientifically.
Okay, I think we found some common ground here. You're saying it would be more gay if I was fucking a dude in the ass.
Yeah.
Okay. I. You know
wait,
what?
Do you really agree with that, though?
It'd be more gay if I was fucking a dude in the ass.
Yeah.
It's hard to get gayer than fucking a dude in the ass.
Yeah, having someone
no.
fuck you in the ass.
Well, but this is a strap with a strap on.
Yeah.
Or not?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now,
well, anything with a dude
on.
Is a gayer than it, anything with a girl. The gayest thing of all is sucking a dude's dick. That's the gayest of the gayest of gay.
Best improvised 80s song.
It started to rain, and I fell for you again, and I met you on the edge of town, and your papa wasn't around, so girl, I got in the back of my bike, and we rode all night.
No, you know, it's not that.
It's not that.
Dove Davidoff for Biggest Daddy Issues.
My mother told me that my father was getting blown by a guy at the wedding.
Well, hold on.
There was nothing gay about him. He'd bang guys, but there was nothing.
Hold on, Deb.
Yeah.
Let's get back to your dad for a second.
Yeah, sure.
Guy was blowing him at the wedding?
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, he, yeah, I mean,
was
he
the
was...
tux a rental? Because I don't know if
exactly.
You can get,
I don't
get
even know
back.
If they're wearing a tux. Wasn't that kind of wedding?
We're talking yeah. about. '70s,
I don't know.
Blue velvet.
Yeah, yeah, velvet. Yeah.
How? Yeah. Well, why did your mom tell you this?
Why? I don't. Why? Well, because it wasn't the kind of thing that she would hide. I mean, it was.
By the way, I have a short list of things that I'm going to hide from my kids. That would be
hide anything.
1, 2, and 3. Getting sucked mother, off at the wedding by a dude. That's yeah. the top of my list of things to hide.
She doesn't. There is no filter like that. And my mother.
That's
is,
not a filter. It's a fucking hula hoop.
I know. It's a hula hoop. I know. There's no.
Here's the thing. You don't have to not tell your kid that.
Yeah.
Just when it never comes up in conversation, then you never have yeah. to allude to it. It's not like
no, but she
it's
was
not like
talking
I ever cornered
about
my mom and went, "Come on, you don't fucking look me in the yeah. eye and tell me Dad wasn't sucked off by another dude at your wedding. Right, come right. look me in the eye."
The Nobel Prize for Science.
So I was on the road in, I don't know, I think I was doing a gig in Virginia or something. Somebody handed me a biorhythm wheel, which I haven't seen since my mom was sitting in her piece of shit house in North Hollywood in 1974.
Freak out!
It's calibrated to your birthday, and there are three categories.
So, again, it's just good science.
Hard science.
And one category is sensitivity. That's your human relations. Another category is intellectual, just how sharp you are. And the last one's physical. So I calibrated to you and today. So today, it's not looking good.
I don't need a fucking wheel to tell you that.
Yeah, so today, you're in the negative for all three. So as far as the sensitivity category, you are irritated today.
And, no shit! And fucking yeah, Junior. So,
irritation, gloominess.
Yes.
Intellectually, you're not as sharp, and you're
oh, fucking shit, fuck off.
And physical, you're a little sluggish and a little tired.
That's me. But, all right, well, hold on. Maybe there's something to this yeah. wheel.
June 20th, though, things are coming up, Corolla.
Oh, really? Yeah. June 20th?
Yeah. Just hold out another 9
we'll
days.
We'll be in Phoenix.
We'll be in Phoenix. Look
it's
out.
Great biorhythm day for Phoenix.
Yeah, so that's going to be a good day for me. Now, is today what my mom would call an extra critical day?
No, critical days were... it's basically where you cross over from bad to good, and that's when things just is all in fluctuation.
So not a good idea to drive your son to Van Nuys?
No, really. It says, like, on critical days, do not get in the car. Don't...
She was just
I think she just
rules.
Had her set on critical.
And I looked up yours, and I would stay home day before New Year's.
And best guest host, Dana Gould.
I had two of my kids in a grocery store once when I just had the two. We hadn't grown the third yet.
You hadn't ordered her yet?
I hadn't ordered her yet. Still pending. Go into a grocery store right as they just melt down. They're like 3 and 5, and it's at that age, it's like having apes. Speaking of Planet of the Apes, so we, I literally leave a cart of groceries in the store. I'm like, all right, we're leaving. I couldn't do it,
mm-hmm.
And I took him out to the car, and I'm trying to buckle my 5-year-old into her seat, and she's kicking and kicking and kicking, and I pointed my finger right at her, and I went, knock it, because she kicked my glasses off, and I put my finger right in her face and went, knock it off, gesticulating with my finger. I get her into her car seat, I get in my car, I get in the driver's seat, and a woman knocks on my driver's side window, and I go, yes, and I roll down the window, and she goes, would you kindly not slap your children
wow.
in the grocery store parking lot? My brother was a policeman, and he told me that sometimes you can throw people off if you ask them an out-of-context question. Like, why is that? When do they change that street light if someone's arguing with mm-hmm. you? Like, if a drunk is arguing with you and it's getting belligerent, you can derail them by going, what happened to that? There used to be, like, a neon light there. And you'll throw them off. I had the groceries in the car from... not the groceries in the car, because I left the groceries in the store, but I had the kid snacks in the car. There was a banana on the driver's side seat. And when that woman said, please don't hit your children in the parking lot, I just, like, in the time it took to think, I saw the banana, and I just grabbed it, and I said, hold this for 1 second, please. And I handed it to her, and she took it, and I drove away.
Oh, love me some Dana Gould. Wow.
All worthy winners.
Well, everyone's a winner.
Yeah.
All right. Now we move on to the next category. Best drop by a guest.
The ones everyone's been waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
The nominees for best drop by a guest are Rob Hubel.
The motherfuck.
Greg Fitzsimmons.
Get these motherfuckers out and give me some Jews.
Sean White.
YOLO, man.
Dr. Drew.
What I do now.
And Alec Baldwin.
Quiet.
Well, Bald Brian, I have to defer to you on this one.
Oh, am I picking the winner?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. God, so many good ones. Baldwin already won. It's got to be. It's got to be Dr. Drew.
Yeah. Yeah, What I Do Now. Mm-hmm.
What I Do Now.
And now it's Best Drop by a Staff Member.
The nominees for Best Drop by Staff are...
Germs, 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 dogs!
Who am I?
Nobody!
Okay. You better give me a lot of lumps.
I feel like I found my soulmate. Yay.
Wow. I mean, all very good, but how could it not be Allison finding her soulmate?
Yeah. All our cockles are warmed by that. All right. Next up, best friend of the show, Jay Moore this time.
Our final nominee for best friend of the show, Jay Moore.
And I'm thrilled anytime I get a chance to do your podcast. I don't know why people think David Alan Greer and Joe Coy are on my level.
They're not.
Hey, Eddie Vedder is here tonight. Thank you. He always has some rambling bullshit story before a song.
Yeah.
You know, when Chiang Kai-shek tried to unify Vietnam, it was a lot of opposition. Henry Kissinger had something called backdoor diplomacy. This is evolution. Ooh, bah! And then he sings like a goat. Well, Johnny Depp is Eddie Vedder at a higher register. Well, Eddie Vedder is very low like this, you know? And looks around a lot. And Johnny Depp is a little bit higher and wants you to wear scarves. You've discussed.
You know Chris Rock pretty good?
I got Chris Rock pregnant and James Earl Jones fell out of his butthole.
You gotta be kidding, right?
No, I'm not. Hey, man. Hey. I get everybody pregnant.
You do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I go to L.A. Zoo and they kicked me out.
For getting people pregnant?
They kicked me out of the L.A. Zoo for getting animals pregnant.
You didn't get Tina Fey pregnant, did you?
No, Tina Fey's like my mother.
Oh, okay.
I love Tina Fey. She breastfed me until I got over my cold.
Did you get Alec Baldwin pregnant?
Yeah, I got Alec Baldwin pregnant. That's how he became Fat Alec Baldwin.
Oh, he's pregnant?
Yeah.
With your child?
Yeah. Yeah, I get everybody pregnant. There's a lot of white women in here. I'm going to leave beige babies all over the 101 freeway tonight, baby. This is a mating call right here.
What do you mean, what do I think? What the fuck am I supposed to think? Howie Mandel's walking around in fucking MC Hammer pants. You asking me what I fucking think? Who gives a fuck? What you Jew, you Jew motherfucker. What the fuck what I think? Thomas how? Thomas who? What the fuck?
No, what I'm saying, Joe, is... Thomas wants to know about Mangria.
Oh, I don't know. Who's the Thomas? What?
Thomas is over there.
He's a rat. Whole family rats.
He hails from the Bay Area, evidently. And he wants to know about Mangria. And I told him, look, the reason I can complain is no hot chick drinks Mangria, only Howie Mandel. But have you tried any, Joe?
Of course I tried. I'm fucking hammered right now, you stuttering fucking prick. What do you fucking think I drink? Diet fucking Coke, you prick? What the fuck?
Hello. How are you? Are you at the Wheel Turn tonight with Adam Carolla? He's good.
You know, there's two different Al Pacino voices, because in his earlier days of acting, you guys remember The Godfather, Dog Day Afternoon, he had a very high voice. In The Godfather, it was, "You broke my heart, Fredo. Don't ever ask me about my business, Kay." And then right around Heat, somebody dropped a piano on his back. Anyway,
oh, are you going to tell me I'm going to talk like this for the rest of my life?
Oh, man.
Fierce competition.
So tough
to
choose.
Of the show.
And I didn't choose, you know.
What? You didn't?
This is the powers that
this
be.
This is the nominating committee?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't,
the Academy?
I don't want that kind of friction when I see any of the guys out on the street.
Oh, yeah, hurt
you know
feelings.
What I mean? Mm-hmm. The winner is Joe Coy. I feel like it would be deserved no matter who won, but Joe Coy
That's
was
good.
Special.
He'd be the most psychologically damaged if he lost.
We're getting very close to wrapping this up. Rant of the Year, Part 5.
And our final nominee for Rant of the Year, Max Apata gets a ticket.
Why is our own police force kicking the shit out of us on technicalities? I would argue that you'd have a lot more officers freed up if they weren't all fucking parked at the four-way intersections writing out chicken shit tickets to guys like Max Apata who are fucking on their way to work. It's chicken shit. It's bullshit. They never stop. And I just say fuck enough is enough. So, Chris, are you going to fight this thing?
I don't know if I can, because I technically didn't stop, so I don't know what argument I have.
The argument all of us need to start making is, instead of the letter of the law, you prove to me why this was dangerous. I need to know a circumstance. Who did I put in jeopardy in this situation? There was nobody crossing the street. There was no cross traffic. There was nothing. So then you prove to me why this was dangerous. Because technically, there's a million things you cannot do technically while driving and otherwise. I mean, there are laws for everything that we're all technically breaking 18 laws a day by simply engaging in our life. I'm tired of that part. Either way, everyone within the sound of my voice, please fight every ticket, clog the fucking system, and send the fucking message to these hero dicks. We're tired of you being fucking heroes. Go fucking kick in a door and yell no time for backup. Go fucking down to the go down to the docks and give a guy $20 and get some fucking information off it. Stop handing out chicken shit tickets to the people who aren't the criminals. We should be incensed and outraged by this. We really should be outraged, and we all just go like, oh. And you know what the worst part is? We internalize it. We go, I should have come to... No, you shouldn't have! It's your fucking street. It's your fucking car. There's nothing dangerous going on, and nobody's got no fucking accident at that intersection or any four-way stop intersection. Fuck you, fucking heroes. Fuck yourselves. Do what we fucking tell you to do. You're our bitch, bitches! Wow.
Wow.
Passionate. All right.
You felt strongly. But strongly enough to win?
We shall see. And the winner for Rant of the Year is NPR failing to play the 47-minute interview I did with them in New York because they made themselves look foolish by trying to paint me as a racist by playing a clip that Joe Coy did on this show.
That was a great rant because it was this year that happened this year. It was on point. You knew exactly what you're going after. It was inspired rant.
It's insane that I went and did a long-form interview on my book and they wouldn't play it.
It's such a waste of time. But-
It's an insane waste of time, but...
The other insane thing is one of the things they said that had to be cut out for brevity of the package. One of the things they said was it wasn't good radio. Actually, it was fucking great radio.
It would have been. It wasn't good for them radio because they were trying to set me up like a racist, but it would have been fine radio for folks who enjoyed radio.
Yeah.
But not good for them and the point they were trying to get across. So... Everybody, please understand that when you listen to whoever, right or left, your favorite radio show, TV show, they have a point of view. And if it's not being expressed, well, it may get cut out. But I drove across town and I sat down for an hour and it was never aired because they pulled a clip of Joe Coy. All right. I want to thank all of you for tuning in throughout 2014.
So thank everyone who put in the hard work and the long hours and the clips and the research.
Oh, my God. Lynch and Dawson and Gary and all Maxipata and all the folks that... who am I missing here?
Kalen.
Kalen.
And we got a special assist from Giovanni Giorgio.
That's his last name?
Sorry.
When's your name Giovanni? Giovanni, dude, it's like Madonna.
Yeah.
Do you need a last name?
It's a little much.
It's gilding the lily. All right.
Once again, best show of the year.
Best show of the year. All right. Let me hit the Castrol Edge. Stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keeps the metal parts from rubbing, man. Three times, fool. Stronger, leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. Castrol Edge formulated in ways to exceed the toughest industry standards. It is Castrol Edge.
And there we have it. The 2014 Ace Awards. They only get better.
And longer.
And they will continue to. And longer. Yeah, they really do get longer. We need a lot of head on these clips, Joe. I don't know if you noticed that, but I like to put a lot of head on my clips.
I'm a big fan of how much head you put on the clips.
All right. Well, we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks again for tuning in. If you want to hear the full episodes of the shorter clips that we played or just go back in the archives and listen to other moments of The Adam Carolla Show, check out Podcast One Premium, right?
The home of all your favorite podcasts. They have an entire 10-plus years of The Adam Carolla Show. You can listen to everything we played today, anything we played in the past on Carolla Classics, these Ace Awards. A lot of times people hear these Ace Awards and they hear stuff the first time and they want to hear the full entire clip, not just the edited portion. So if there's anything in these Ace Awards you want to hear, you can contact us. We'll play it on Carolla Classics or Podcast One Premium. Listen to the old episodes. Send us new recommendations.
That's right. It's the best way to get the full experience of The Adam Carolla Show. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. A nice midweek Carolla Classics. We've got a great episode lined up for you, so make sure to tune in. Till then, my name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.